It's the annual Obvious Headline E3 is upon us. Hopefully next year I won't have to intro how teased we still are about the forthcoming 9th console generation. This is the week's most obvious headline. Stay tuned for the rest of the week's gaming news starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Loki, it's happening. It's happening. Loki, I can't believe it. It's fucking happening. Phantasy Star Online 2 in the West, finally. Finally, Loki. Finally. Do you know how many years? How many years I've been waiting for Phantasy Star Online 2? And it's finally happening.
Yes,
Betty. Hi. Welcome, everybody. It's another week of Orange Lounge Radio. Happy E3. It's a show where every gamer has a voice, and we talk, of course, for 3 hours every week about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle. My name is the very excited Rob Roberts to cover what would be, our 16th year of E3 shenanigans, and probably a game I've been waiting for 16 years to talk about. I am, of course, Rob Roberts, and with me, as always, is Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hello. Not joining us tonight, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. She has the night off. She is a conflict tonight with her sister's organization. She's doing the Pride event in Sacramento with the sister group today. But of course, she sends her love and all that. And for her, Animal Crossing is going to be covered on next week's show anyway. So tonight is going to be about some of the things we've seen thus far from Microsoft and all that good stuff. So anyway, all right. Let's get into it. I mean, it's E3. E3's back. And we've covered a lot of stuff already. You're actually kind of keeping an eye on Bethesda stuff as we're going, right?
But yeah,
there's a lot of fluff going on.
It's been, they just, for the last 10 minutes or so, have been showing off mobile games, which no one gives a shit about. And then now they're showing off some stuff for Rage 2, which... Yeah, that's cool.
All right. Well, we'll cover all the bullet points on Bethesda a little bit later, but let's get into, did you have a chance to watch Microsoft's event? And, I kind of would imagine it's kind of the tentpole event for a lot of people today. Did you have a chance to look at
it? I did watch it. Yes, I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it was pretty good. They had lots of game announcements, lots of other, they talked about their new console. They talked about that Games Pass, on PC now, and the new Game Pass Ultimate stuff, which is pretty awesome. Lots of games.
Yeah, definitely the message overall for Microsoft was games, 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 games. And I think that's a very good thing. Most people that I talk to that tend to be anti-Microsoft or whatever, or I wouldn't say anti-Microsoft, but maybe just doesn't support Xbox or doesn't own an Xbox One. A lot of people are they just don't really have the games, or, the games I want are on PlayStation, or Nintendo Switch is more for me.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Well, I'm not sure. I find it also kind of matters what type of games you're into. And I'm not sure that maybe we saw a lot at Microsoft's events today that was going to change anybody's mind on
that. There was a little bit of everything.
There was some peppering of stuff, like the Tales of game as far as RPGs go and things like that. I think there were a few things. But I don't know if anybody's mind, especially just judging off Twitter reactions and so forth, I don't know if anybody's mind was changed on Microsoft. But I don't think that means to say that Microsoft did a bad job. I don't think they did by any
means. And I don't really know what needs to change with Microsoft, since most of their games, I think everybody has a PC, so most of those games are going to be playable on PC anyways.
Right.
So it's like,
I'm going to go down the list. I made a big old list of stuff. So obviously I don't want to talk at length about necessarily everything, but certainly, there's a lot to talk about. So it all started off with a game called Outer Worlds that looked very Fallout-y to me. I know we've kind of heard of this
game before. Yeah, that was last year, too, they talked about.
But we see it in motion a little more.
Yeah.
Right? And so it looks a little Fallout-y to me, which I think some of the developers.
It's the original developers of Fallout, New Vegas.
But in space, which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was kind of into it.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah,
I want to get it.
Look kind of neat. Bleeding Edge, the Ninja Theory game. It's a 4v4 that looks kind of like Overwatch,
Melee Overwatch.
A melee Overwatch. The character designs, kind of what made me think of Overwatch is that it's trying to do these very strong kind of character designs, which I'm standing buttercup. Thank you very much. But otherwise, I kind of. And as is the case with a lot of these game announcements and game previews and trailers and things like this, it doesn't always necessarily show the actual game in motion. And that's what I really want to see. What does it look like when you play it? But it looked kind of neat. I'm kind of interested. So Let's see, Ori and the Whisper Woods or Whispering Woods, Whispery Woods,
Whispering
Woods, Whispering Woods. The new Ori game, and that looked. I mean, the last Ori game's great. It's kind of like a Metroidvania if you're like not sure what those games are. But like the art style is really phenomenal. Like obviously it has that look to it, and I like that they kind of showed a lot of different boss characters and these different types of varied environments that just they look like paintings in motion.
Yeah,
it's really really nice. I'm sure that game's going to do very well for them. And then they started to show from the developers of Minecraft, and I was like. Is this finally the Minecraft 2 that
no,
I've been screaming about every year?
They had already shown this at like I think the Minecon thing. They showed this off. So this wasn't necessarily a new thing, but it's like, you know, it's your Minecraft Diablo game.
Which I'm here for it, TBH, because when we get to our gaming weeks, I've been playing a lot of Diablo this week. And that game's almost as old as Phantasy Star Online 2 in Japan. And here I am still playing it. But I like the idea of combining it in the Minecraft world. By the way, speaking of like different platforms and things of that nature, I don't know if you noticed, but at the same time that Microsoft was showing off the Minecraft Dungeons trailer, Nintendo Switch posted it to their official Facebook page. They posted that same trailer, so basically confirming that Minecraft Dungeons will also be on Nintendo Switch.
And PlayStation.
Even though it's a Minecraft
game. And PlayStation 4.
Even though it's a Microsoft game. So
yeah,
but of course, Minecraft was on all those platforms anyway, right?
Well, you know, Steve is totally going to be announced for Smash tomorrow, so it's fine. Or when's Nintendo?
Well, you know,
or is that on Tuesday? It might be Tuesday.
You know, Miyamoto was actually at Microsoft's press conference. A lot of people were talking. Oh my God, Miyamoto's sighted there. This Nintendo's in bed with Microsoft. Fantasy is about to come true. And it turns out, no, it's just actually kind of customary that the competition gets invited to all the pressers. I want to say when we went to the Sony event one year, we spotted the guys that were with Microsoft at the time in
Probably.
Attendance. Like it happens. It's a nicety. It's a formality. The gaming industry is not that big. A lot of these people tend to go from one company to the other. Hell, look at Phil. Not to get too ahead of myself, but look at Phil Harrison with the Google Stadia stuff. Where did that guy used to be? Microsoft,
yeah.
Right? So, you know, these guys will go around the industry. So they all still treat each other very nicely. So let's see. Interesting comment from Bobby Blackwolf as we do tape live. Of course we tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. And we are right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And Bobby himself is in chat right now saying, the gaming companies don't hate each other as much as their fans do. That's a very that's what we say tea. It's very much tea. It's a hot pipe and cup of tea. All right. Anyway, let's see. The next bit they showed was Jedi Fallen Order, which was
that looked pretty good.
Had already been touched on at the EA Play event, but it looked really cool in motion. I don't necessarily always get into those Star Wars games, but that one looked like And the other thing is Respawn. For a moment, if we can talk about Respawn, they're really killing it for EA right now.
Mm-hmm.
Between like Apex, and I know a lot of people slept on Titanfall, but I think now people are thinking, oh, I should have maybe go back and appreciate Titanfall. Like Respawn's doing a lot of great stuff for EA right now, and this appears to be another one that may do very well, as long as, you know, this doesn't screw up the loot box thing like the last Star Wars game from another studio. But
I don't know.
I think EA's learned their lesson a little bit. I'm not going to say they've completely turned around. They're certainly not going to make that same mistake again. That's for sure. Let's see. We also, after that, had a game. Oh, this. Okay, so the next trailer comes up, and it's a forest, and the guy's got a flashlight, and I'm like, oh, my fucking God, is it a new Alan Wake game? Because I'm about to lose my shit. But then the trailer gets a little intense for what I think Alan Wake would usually be. So
yeah.
I'm like, okay, I don't think this is actually Alan Wake. And it turns out it's a setup for a Blair Witch game, which looks like it's not like, you know, they're not going to make a video game based on a movie from 20 years ago at this point. My God. Because actually, I think that movie had a video game on like PS1 or PC or something. But I think it's just the mythos. You know that.
But then again, they have like, you know, Friday the 13th game, and they also have other, like,
True.
You know, serial killer games or, you know, movie horror mascot games.
No, super good point.
Dead by Daylight.
Yeah, Dead by Daylight brings back like all the greatest hits in that game. So, like, you know, horror movies tend to get revisited in gaming. That's not a new concept. But I think with Friday the 13th, you know, that was more like an arena type of game. You know, it's
but this is more like atmospheric, more like Slender type stuff.
Plot thing going on.
Yeah.
We were actually doing a live chat at VOG Network on Twitch. So we like hosted the stream that had like our own chat room that you could actually read the comments as opposed to it going like this, like the official chats do with all the emotes and everything.
With all the emotes clowns.
Which I see you're watching Bethesda, and all I can see in that chat over there is emotes.
It's clowns
everywhere. We were watching in our own channel, and I saw people going, is it Silent Hill? Like, what is this going on here? And I was like, well, that would be a twist if there's a Silent Hill game on the Xbox. But no, it's the Blair Witch thing. But that's cool. Like, you know, say what you want about where that franchise ended up. When that movie first came out, if you're too young to remember, when that movie first came out, that movie mind-fucked people in the biggest way. Because the internet wasn't, like, everywhere yet. So not everybody knew that that movie was fake. And they really tried to sell it off as real. And they did. Like, that was the first, like, found footage horror movie. But the first that took off the way it did. You know what I mean? So it's interesting to see them revisit that, I think. So pretty cool. Anyway, after the Blair Witch was Cyberpunk 2077 and all
which
the footage
looks amazing.
That. Yeah, you know, I haven't been following the Cyberpunk stuff super closely, but you know, you can definitely tell a lot of that cinematography from what you'd see with The Witcher, you know, and a lot of the really amazing graphical style you can see comes into play with that, and it looked really good. It was announced for a release in 2020, so it's not going to happen this year, but hopefully with the 2020 release, we're not talking about crunch time or any of that stuff. But what made me happy was the little footage of Keanu Reeves at the end, which I think made a lot of people go, whoa, because I don't think people knew that was coming, right?
Yeah.
So we got to see the Keanu Reeves. And then out from backstage, Keanu Reeves, he's there. And he does his little spiel. He's being very Keanu Reeves. He's very endearing. The audience loves him. He gets heckled, but in the most Sesame Street kind of way, where somebody from the audience says, "You're breathtaking," and Keanu goes, "No, you're breathtaking," and it's just like the loveliest like verbal pillow fight you've ever seen. It was a very pure, wholesome E3 moment, which we don't usually get enough of. So, I was not expecting that with Cyberpunk 2077, but it did look. It looks like a pretty compelling game, so I'm sure a lot of people are going to be very into that. Let's see, moving on. Actually, going to a question here. Black Mamba, 1977 in chat, says, do you think they'll ever make an Alan Wake game that's multi-platform? I miss that game, but don't want to get a new Xbox. No hate to the console, but Xbox hasn't been kind to me console-wise. Well, also, one thing to keep in mind, I don't know if it would go to PlayStation, but it'll go to PC. If you have a PC that's strong enough to play it, is what I would say today, but this whole xCloud thing of the future, they didn't get into that too much.
No,
but
and it seems like it's more of just like kind of like remote play, like how that was with.
Right.
But then they also said that it's either your console or it's the cloud, you know.
I think, not to get too ahead of ourselves, but I think the reason, my guess for that is that if you have a Project Scarlet console, it's going to render everything and do all that stuff in real time and all that good stuff. But if you don't have a Project Scarlet console, you have an Xbox One console, you use the cloud thing to play the game on the Xbox One console, and it's their processing power, but it's on your Xbox One.
So what they're probably going to say is you can buy this new console, or you can just keep your original console and play these new games.
Yep, but you'll have to be connected to the internet to play these new games. And I would imagine that the Xbox One will be able to read those discs somehow, so it'll still know you have a copy of that game in there. Because that would be kind of interesting, wouldn't it? That if you're paying for a game, and it's a disc that'll work on a Project Scarlet, but if you put it in an Xbox One, it unlocks the game on xCloud for you to play while the disc is in there, which is how backwards compatibility kind of works today. You're not playing it in the cloud, but you still have to have your 360 disc in the Xbox One that unlocks what you're playing a digital copy of the game. Kind of like that, I think. Any thoughts?
I don't know if that's how it's going to work, but
we'll see. There's still a lot to be explained there, that's for sure. Other games, Spiritfarer, which looked kind of cute and artsy. It looked a little mobile to me, but it was I'd be curious about more because it looked like kind of like a building game and so forth. And then Battletoads showed up. So finally we got to see what Battletoads actually looks like in motion. They're going for a very cartoony style.
Yeah.
Not like Cuphead cartoony, but very like, you know, it
modern DuckTales or...
DuckTales or Castle Crashers. It looked a lot like Castle Crashers to me, but like Battletoads. So that kind of made me go, is this a $60 game? Because this looks like Castle Crashers, which was like a $20 game. So I'm not sure we saw enough of Battletoads if it's going to be a full game. But at the same time, and this is something important we have to keep in the back of our heads, Microsoft doesn't necessarily always want us thinking about it's a $20 game, it's a $60 game. Microsoft wants you thinking about, I get to play this with my Game Pass subscription.
Exactly.
So maybe this whole, is it $20? Is it, maybe that whole debate is going to be a thing of the past before too long. I don't know. Anyway, let's see. What else? So after Battletoads was the, they got into RPG time, The Legend of Wright. That was like the notepad sketch looking game that looks like.
Yeah, it looked little, pretty cool.
Yeah, it looked complicated. There was a lot of stuff going on in that UI. It was a messy UI, but I'm sure the game walks you through it a little bit. So I'm curious. I would like to know more. ID at Xbox, where they kind of rapid fire went through. This is how they get 60 games at you. They rapid fire go through the indie games that are being developed. I didn't catch them all. I only caught the one that was called Supermarket Shriek because that made me laugh.
Yeah, that's the one with the goat. I remember that.
Yes,
yeah.
That one made me laugh. And then they talked about Xbox Game Pass for a little bit. They talked about Xbox Game Pass on PC, which I have to be honest, the games that they were spotlighting for Xbox games on PC didn't exactly make me go, woo, but I think they were trying to pick things that maybe don't exist on Xbox One. Like, does Football Manager 19, is that something you can play on your Xbox One? I don't think it is.
I don't know.
So I think they were trying to maybe pick things that were kind of PC specific, but then there's a lot of overlap with the Xbox One. But then, you know, they showed that, they reiterated the Xbox One version, and then they came out and said, we're going to offer you this Xbox Ultimate Pass for $14.99. We're going to have an Xbox Pass that is the Xbox Game Pass for the system, for the PC, and Xbox Gold for $14.99 a month. And even you asked this when you came in here tonight, and I think a lot of people have been asking, well, we knew Microsoft was looking at doing this bundle, but isn't $14.99 the cost of just Game Pass today and Gold? Yes. So now what they've did to sweeten the pot is that they're throwing in PC Game Pass, which, as I understand, is still separate as part of that $14.99. Got to admit, I think I'm going to do it. And I heard something about that it's actually $1 a month promotional pricing if you still have an active Xbox Gold. Because like right now I'm paid through February on my Xbox plan. So because, you know, you buy that annually, right? Yeah. So I heard something about like you get $1 a month. Don't quote me on this. I haven't read all the terms and conditions, but at least you get a little bit of $1 a month for a little bit of that. And I got to admit, I think I'm going to do it. Why not?
Yeah.
There's a lot of games that I'm spending $60 on when they come out, like Forza Horizon and stuff, that I think I just would sign up for the Game Pass and play them that way, to be honest. So anyway. Let's see. I'm looking in our chat here for some other comments. Tiger Claw does point out, as far as Battletoads goes, it did show new speeder bike levels. Sure, it did. And yeah, remember how those levels were notorious? Sure. Instead of like a third person, though, it was like a first person.
No, it was still third person, but it was just, instead of, you know, being side scrolling, it was going into.
Oh yeah, it was more like over the shoulder.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Should be less annoying.
Yeah. Let's see. And then they showed, ooh, they showed a new flight simulator. They showed Microsoft Flight Simulator, which, again, not a series you always associate with Xbox. I think those flight simulator games were always very PC-centric, but it looked gorgeous. It really looked good. You know, I was just sitting there the whole time going, but I'm not good at the simulator part. Can I just press F to fly? And apparently Bobby Blackwolf says, yes, there is a Bobby Blackwolf mode in Flight Simulator. So you can just fly the damn plane and enjoy the scenery, which I think will be lovely. And again, if that's a part of Game Pass, for me, I'm like, okay, I wouldn't have thought of dropping $60 on Flight Simulator, but like paying the $15 a month.
Does it have a VR mode? Because that would be awesome.
Interesting enough, VR, AR completely left out of Microsoft's conversation today. It's just, you know, we talked a little bit about this at the end of Bobby's show. It's just not something they're doing with Xbox right now, it seems. But, you know, had Sony gone to E3 this year, I'm sure VR would have been a part of their conversation. So it is just an interesting little unique difference between the two consoles right now is that, you know, Microsoft is really focusing on this games and PC and Xbox are their platforms, whereas Sony is looking at games, but PlayStation and VR Enhance is kind of their world right now. So, you're kind of starting to see a little more of a division between those two for sure. So after Flight Simulator was the new Age of Empires game, Age of Empires 2, which I have to admit, I don't get it as into those games. I do Civ, but I know those games have their fans, so I'm sure they were very happy. Wasteland 3 was shown as well, which, again, not a series I've gotten into yet, but I thought they did a good job with the trailer. I'm trying to pick up the pace a little bit here because I have a lot to get through. Big shoe dropping, Double Fine acquired by Xbox. As if all of their acquisitions last year weren't enough, they came out and said, not only did we acquire all of them, we got one more, Double Fine. Some pressed people on my Twitter feed about that. Not happy about that one. But I have to admit, I'm trying to come from that perspective of, to me, it's because the reason why a lot of people are pressed is because the Double Fine fans, some that I know, are like, dang it, I like Psychonauts. I like those games. Those are the types of games I want to play. I don't want to have to go to freaking Xbox. I don't like Xbox because they don't have my kind of games. Well, y'all, that's why Microsoft did it. Microsoft's trying to win those people over because you don't like Microsoft because they don't have those kind of games. Well, guess what? They just bought to get those kind of games. That's their strategy. So,
it'll be on PC too, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of folks will enjoy Psychonauts 2 on PC and so forth, which also interesting that Psychonauts 2 is now so closely related with Microsoft when the first one didn't go so well. Because the first one was supposed to be an Xbox exclusive. Mm-hmm. But also, I think we know the folks that are running Xbox completely different from what it used to be. I mean, props to Phil Spencer, am I right? Like, Phil Spencer has turned the Xbox One ship around. He should really be commended. So good job, Phil Spencer, especially considering to who they used to have. I mean, he's been miles and light years beyond. I feel like Phil Spencer gets it. Like, Phil Spencer's like a gamer, whereas the last guy was an executive. You know what I mean? So kudos to Phil Spencer, honestly. Let's see. Going on to more games. The Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga. All 9 games in one.
But it's not like a compilation. It's a brand new game.
It's a brand new game. It's all 9 movies in one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That seems a little clusterfucky to me. But Lego has their unique sense of humor and their unique way of doing things. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine. And then they showed the Project Z, the Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. I don't know if I said that right. Sorry, guys. I don't really play a lot of the Dragon Ball Z stuff, but I think it's cool that Microsoft is showcasing something like that at their – because that, again, is the type of game that you don't always associate with Microsoft. But here they are giving a pretty decent chunk of time to it. So I thought that was very interesting. Mm-hmm. So from a strategical perspective, I was kind of into that. And then after that, they showed actually the game that really – this was one of the standouts for me. 12 Minutes was the game after that. It's an Annapurna Studios game. It was a time loop thriller game. So she was like, oh, I got you a present. And he goes, I already know what's in the box, and you killed your dad, and a guy's coming through that door. And it was very, it was very scary. Which, time loops are all the rage right now. Have you seen Russian Doll?
There was another game during the Bethesda conference that's also based around a time loop.
It's
called Deathloop.
So another time. Time loops are in. Time loops are the new Battle Royale.
Where's my time loop, Fallout 76?
Be careful. Be careful what you wish for. All right. And then they showed a game called Way to the Woods, which, like, you played as this moose that was using their antlers to, like, smash windows and things. And I was reminded of Tokyo Jungle randomly. But the art style was very different and very cool. But I also want a sequel to Tokyo Jungle. So PlayStation 5, make that happen. And then they got into the Gears Pop mobile game, right? Cute. State of Decay 2, which... I see another zombie game and my eyes kind
of
glaze over.
Well, it's State of Decay 2. I think it's an expansion to that.
Yeah, but I see another zombie. My eyes glaze over. But I thought it was a well-done trailer. It looked interesting. I was like, okay, this looks like it might be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they show Phantasy Star Online 2, and I melted. I died. I was resurrected. There's a part of me, like, don't get me wrong, I am really excited about Phantasy Star Online 2 happening, but I've hit that it's been so long. I kind of go, well, what are they going to do to, like, A, catch up, B, a lot of people have already visited Phantasy Star Online 2. How are they going to make this now a game for 2019? That's kind of what I'm curious about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or are they just going to kind of rest on their laurels and hope that we kind of eat up what they've delivered 7 years ago in another country? So, but I'm really excited to check it out for sure. So don't get me wrong. Like, I'm just like, it's kind of like one of those like sighs of relief. Like, finally, this is happening. I just hope it's done well. I was kind of surprised it didn't. I would have thought if Phantasy Star Online 2 was going to happen, I'm surprised it wasn't a Nintendo Switch thing. Which, yes, I know the Switch does the whole cloud gaming thing, but still, it's on the Switch overseas. It's on PlayStation overseas. I'm kind of surprised now it's Xbox over here. That alone is interesting in how it changes the conversation. But it should be noted, Phantasy Star Universe, which a lot of y'all slept on. You didn't like it as much as Phantasy Star Online. I thought it was all right. Phantasy Star Universe was an Xbox 360 game. Phantasy Star Universe wasn't on PlayStation. Phantasy Star Universe was not Nintendo's platform. So Microsoft does have a precedent of supporting the series. There is that. After that, they hyped this series that I guess tons of people around the world play. And I have to note, I didn't Crossfire X. I didn't.
It's in Korea, I think.
That. Okay, that's. I'm or like, China, it has to be a game overseas that's huge. And remember, Microsoft does business in many other places than just North America. So I'm sure they had to
I forget where it's from. It's either China or Korea, and it's basically of the size of like Fortnite over there.
Bobby says it's Korea's Counter-Strike.
Counter-Strike, yeah.
Yeah, basically. So let's see. And then after that was Tales of Arise. So Tales of Symphonia, Tales of – so it's like Namco Bandai's JRPG. Looked really nice, actually. Yeah. The art style looked really cool. So, and I'm always glad to see RPGs on Xbox. That's a great thing. Then they show Borderlands 3, which I'm sure you have more opinions on.
Yeah, it looks good. I mean, it was a kind of similar trailer, except I did laugh when, you know, Claptrap is trying to chase after the gun with legs and it runs up the stairs because that's, you know, his greatest weakness is stairs.
Yeah.
He's like, no! It was hilarious.
Did you think it was interesting how they would bleep words? Because they bleeped Claptrap in that, and they bleeped a lot of stuff in the Cyberpunk 2077.
It's only in that broadcast because I think it's family friendly and it goes on the Xbox as well. But if you actually watch the trailer outside of that, like I rewatched the Cyberpunk trailer and it's not. Well, it's just.
But what was. Okay, but like family friendly. Did you see all that violence and did you catch the finger in the Cyberpunk thing? Like, I wouldn't say it was family friendly. They just bleeped the language, which I thought was weird. Well, and
well, some people are more offended by language than blood.
Okay, there's a whole commentary just waiting in there, but I'm going to leave it at that because it's a three-hour show. We don't have enough time if I get on that tangent. So the next game that they showed was Elden Ring, and this is the big Miyazaki and R.R. Martin, George R.R. Martin coming together.
Lots of people will die.
Yes, lots of people. Your faves will be killed. But it's it was the trailer was very cinematic. Of course, no actual game to be seen there, but I'm sure that's not going to stop the hype machine for a lot of people.
It looks good. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I know. I'm curious to hear more, but it's very early on right now. And then after that, the rest of the time was spent on the new console. So not everybody was expecting
Did
to
we talk about
today.
The Forza Horizon Lego thing?
Oh, I skipped over it. I'm sorry. You're right. Forza. How could I miss that, Bobby? Forza Horizon 4's Lego expansion. Yeah, it looks
Which
great.
Comes out this week.
Yeah, it's like right now, too. I was saying they could make a whole other game out of that.
They should.
Honestly, I'm kind of surprised. It's kind of interesting because whereas like Battletoads is one of those like, oh, they're going to maybe charge full price for this game that may be more like a online thing. They could probably get away with doing a whole Lego spinoff Horizon game themselves and get away with it. But
play
no,
it.
It's DLC. Yeah. So anything else I missed?
No, I think that was it.
Yeah. Bobby Blackwolf pointing out, after all the how dare yous, we also thought Hot Wheels could have been its own game. And SSG100 Matt over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, Lego, all the things. Yes, there was a lot of Lego in that press conference, wasn't there? What I really liked in that trailer, obviously it looks great, but I really liked that remix of Everything is Awesome that sounded like a song you would hear in Forza Horizon. It was like a Euro trance type of version of that song. It was awesome. Then we got into the new console, which they did not give a further name to beyond Project Scarlet, so which obviously will not be the final name, but they're still referring to it as Project Scarlet. And we had a little talking head piece about people hyping up the console. very interesting in that talking head piece that we ticked all the boxes that Sony has ticked so far. And their tiny, tiny little, hey, we invited somebody into our office before they did a leak story on this. So the SSD drive, check. Microsoft's doing it too.
GDDR6 RAM.
Ray tracing. All that stuff checked off. So
Zen 2 architecture. Yeah.
So Microsoft kind of level set. Like what Sony's doing, we're doing. So we're on the same page. But now Microsoft took it one step further by showing you here's what ray tracing looks like. And we got maybe 30 seconds of glimpse at these kind of random things that were running. Like I remember a scenery shot of these, you know, wildlife kind of like in a environmental thing, and it kind of showed the ray tracing in action. Looked really nice, right? So we got those little glimpses, and then of course a big glimpse at Halo Infinite, which is going to be their big kickoff title, taking a page from the original Xbox and launching with a Halo game.
Have a good strong title to launch the system with.
Or one might say taking a page from Nintendo, who launched the Switch with Breath of the Wild, because Halo Infinite, I mean, Microsoft has said before, am I right? You can play any game they announce from now on your Xbox One, right? Because it's probably going to be this whole cloud thing. So, you know, Halo Infinite will be for the past console, but it's also going to be the kickoff for the new console.
Yeah.
So, and it will I mean, it wasn't very Halo-y what we saw, but it was well done.
Yeah.
Especially that scene when the little transmission, little Princess Leia hologram type thing was coming in. Like, just looking at the detail on that, looked really amazingly detailed on that whole thing.
Yeah.
So I thought it was good. And then, of course, you do see the Master Chief, and you saw what I thought was going to be the tutorial. Like, I thought it was going to suddenly take over because it was a good setup for, now that we got you plugged in, let's make sure you're working again. Look over here. Use RS to move. Or, you know, you now look over
here.
Well,
it could be, like, in the game. But
maybe it jumped a few steps ahead. I don't know. So, but yeah, that was pretty hot, that Halo Infinite look. So that was everything for Microsoft. I know I talked a lot about that, but there was a lot to digest. So overall, you thought it was pretty good. I thought it was pretty good too.
Yeah, I think they did a good job.
I think they did too. I don't think they did anything that was like, oh shit, Sony's gonna regret not coming this year.
There wasn't a lot of unexpected titles from them. It was kind of like showing you some more new, like, stuff that we've seen already. I mean, we already have seen a lot of those. It's not like brand new. Like, this is a
Phantasy Star Online 2 was unexpected.
It was unexpected, but it wasn't like it wasn't something from like, here's what our studios are working on, you know, exclusive games for us, you know, type of thing. It wasn't anything like that, but it was fine. It was all right.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I thought they did a very good message of games, 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 games. They really did show a lot, and especially for what is essentially a lame duck year for the current gen consoles, right? That's what you call, you know, when we all know there's a new gen coming, so this is the last year. And this is why Sony's kind of taken it off, because if Sony showed up to E3 this year, what would they be showing? Death Stranding, which they've shown a
Last
bunch
of Us
already.
2.
Last of Us 2, which they showed a lot of last year.
And the year before that.
Yeah, they would show Final Fantasy VII Remake, which they've already shown. Well, Square's got their own thing anyway.
Tomorrow, yeah.
So I just think Sony maybe their bridge games,
you know what?
Already milked the hype.
I'm surprised we didn't see more Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Because you know how they kind of do those, like, you know, hey, let's show some of this person, third-party company's game or something like that. Or, I guess Assassin's Creed will see that in Ubisoft. So,
well, let me. Yeah, what were you surprised was not there?
And I don't really have any expectations, so I guess not really anything.
That's true. Lower them expectations, right? I guess I would say the VR AR thing. Just the fact that they didn't address it at all.
I would
is an interesting. It does definitely show you here's Microsoft and where they're at versus here's where Sony's at.
I would have liked to have seen some download content for Crackdown 3, because I really have no reason to play that game again, and I kind of sad that it just like was so short and kind of meh.
Top three out of that whole event, I'll do mine. Top three: PSO2, hello, 12 minutes, and the $14.99 Ultimate Xbox Pass thing. I think that's, and especially considering what we're going to talk about next, I think Xbox got me on that. But what about your top three?
Cyberpunk 2077, Outer Worlds, and I'd say Borderlands 3.
Good picks. Solid picks. Let's see. Bobby wants to, I guess, reiterate something he said on Twitter. Oh, wow, Scarlet News. I made a tweet during the conference about wanting to still play 4K Blu-rays and 4K Netflix on Scarlet so it could just replace my Xbox One X. A Microsoft dev lead that works on xCloud and the display app replied to me during my show saying, all good. So 4K UHD Blu-ray player for Scarlet confirmed? Question.
Hooray.
I would think that's the kind of thing Microsoft doesn't want to confirm right now, because Microsoft has set the precedent a little bit that they're willing to go all digital. So maybe they'll be different. Maybe there'll be different versions of Scarlet. Maybe one of them will play Blu-rays because that licensing fee and all that, right? And maybe one of them won't. Theorizing, fantasizing. We'll see, right? We'll see.
I don't know.
Bobby Blackwolf also noting Forza Motorsport 8 as a noticeable thing that wasn't there that was surprising. Yeah, you would expect a new Forza game on the odd number years, and a Horizon game on the even number years at this point.
Yeah.
But I think if we know that a new console is coming in 2020, if those rumors are true that Turn 10, which is, I know, is Horizon's folks, but if they're working on a RPG type of thing and all this, if all that's true, then maybe Forza's just taking the year off.
And probably.
What I would imagine is going to be, ray tracing and top-of-the-line graphics, that's just begging for Scarlet, the new console. So I think they're just sitting on Motorsport 8 for the new console, I think. So, oh, I'm sorry, Playground Games, not Turn 10, my bad. I got them backwards, as people often do. All right, let's see. So let's move on, shall we? Let's get to what else happened during E3 week. The EA Play event also happened. So we had Microsoft's event. We had EA Play. Did you watch EA Play?
I only caught the part with Star Wars in it because I could care less. I couldn't care less about the sports stuff, and I don't play Apex Legends. So I think that was basically it.
I didn't catch it. It was just a bad time for me because we had Sacramento Pride going on this weekend, and I was hanging out with friends yesterday for that, so I just missed the whole thing. And kind of similar thought, I was like, if they announce a new Dragon Age or something, I'll see a trailer about that later on. They didn't, so we didn't miss any of that. Here's what they did recap at EA Play for E3 2019. They pretty much focused on six games, including Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. They did the first 15 minutes of gameplay, and that's all, of course, available on YouTube now in the archives if you want to check that out. They did show more Apex Legends. There's a new character that they unveiled, Watson, and there's a new short to go with it, kind of like when they announced a new Overwatch character.
So, oh, my God.
Yeah, kind of cute the way they did that, but I think people responding very positively to Watson, the character. It's bringing in a nice new kit for the game. Also, a new weapon from Titanfall 2 that crossed over in Apex Legends, so you're seeing a little bit more of that universe starting to
Unless
come together.
That weapon is Titans, I don't really care.
Well, careful what you wish for. And then a ranked mode coming to Apex as well, which I'm sure surprises nobody, right? Yeah. They showed Battlefield 5. They showed some new maps. The Battle of Greece, North Africa map. There's a classic Battlefield map. Oh, the North Africa Al Sudan is a classic map that mixes up foot, vehicles, and air combat mode. So, okay. And then they showed more Star Wars Battlefront 2, just a little bit. Obviously, this game's been out for a while, but they did want to point out that Naboo, a Capital Supremacy map, is coming on June 26th, and there's also the Droid Ekka and the TX-30 tank. Then they talked a little bit about FIFA 20, because, of course, EA's got to cover sports, and, you know, despite however you might feel about FIFA, it's like the biggest game in the world. So they had to talk about FIFA 20, and they did that a little bit. And Volta is a new mode inside FIFA 20. It's street-style soccer. So street soccer, which I have never
They've had FIFA Street, so it makes sense.
I've never seen played here in the States, but obviously it's a little more worldwide when we're talking about FIFA. Madden 20, because again, they have to show the sports games, and Madden's one of them. So they showed a little bit of that. And The Sims 4 is getting a new expansion. Island Living is the new expansion for Sims 4, which is still going as we come up on the 20th year of The Sims. And I was pretty pleasantly surprised that Sims 4 is still trucking along with all the content. I got to admit, I haven't been following the series so closely, but I know people that do that were excited to hear that there is still more content coming for the game. That's pretty cool. So that, in a nutshell, was EA Play. So I guess.
Favorites there? Star Wars, the only thing I saw. So.
Yeah, and honestly, well, I like Apex enough. I need to play it more. I need to give it a better shot. So I like that Apex is still trucking along and that they're doing animated shorts with it. I think that's pretty cool. So, all right, let's move on and talk about the Pokemon Direct. I'm sure you were excited about this, right?
I didn't watch it.
I watched kind of like the highlights. I didn't watch it. It was on too fucking early to watch it live. So, of course, you get all the highlights on Twitter, right? So we got to see things like the new Pokemon they announced, such as Wooloo, who is a sheep, and everybody on my Twitter feed seems to be stanning Wooloo, because Wooloo's an adorable little sheep Pokemon. Mareep is crying that you've all forgotten Mareep already.
Wooloo shipping, like, immediately. It was just ridiculous. it's like a goddamn sheep, folks.
Gossifleur was another Pokemon. Dreadnought. Corviknight, which was kind of cool little like badass raven knight looking thing. Eldegoss was another one as well. The wild area. A wild area is an area that stretches between cities, and different Pokemon appear depending on where you are and what the weather is like. You have full 360-degree control over the camera. So that's a little different than Pokemon games of the past. So now it's a little more of a 3D environment.
Breath of the Pokemon.
Maybe I don't know if I go that far, but certainly, you know, it's
going to
be
a big change.
Can I
light fire to the tall grass?
Yeah, it's going to be a big change. Dynamaxing, which some people don't feel so hot about, but
make my monster grow.
Yes, you can make your Pokemon do maximum capabilities, max moves. You can use it once in a battle, and it lasts for 3 turns. So this is going to be, you know, when do you do it, and all this is going to be key. They do not call this an evolution. They don't want to confuse it with Z moves and make evolutions and all this. It's a new thing, Dynamax. It's the new thing. Kind of sounds like a weight gain drug, so I guess it's all good. Max Raid Battles. This sounded kind of cool because it sounded like a Pokemon Go kind of thing that they took, and they're putting in the mainline games now because it's a multiplayer event, and what you do in the wild area, different Dynamax Pokemon. And again, I think that's kind of clever because if you think about it, that's how it works in Pokemon Go, right? You have these supercharged Pokemon that you battle at the raid gyms, and then they come down in size for you to catch. So in some ways, maybe you can blame Pokemon Go for your Dynamax Pokemon. I don't know. But anyway, you basically come together, and you do a party of four, and the Pokemon stays in the Dynamax form, and so you all basically fight this Pokemon together. I believe I heard things about NPCs if you don't have the friends to play with or what have you. So that sounds kind of neat, though.
Yeah, that sounds neat.
It's a neat little, like, different co-op angle, and I think it's really cool that you see how Pokemon Go's influence now kind of comes
in. And then also kind of like with Let's Go, they also have it where you can see the Pokemon on the map instead of just running into them randomly.
Yeah. And then let's see, new characters, new gyms. They showed a character named Leon, a burly blue-haired man that is apparently a celebrity, of course, and has Charizard following in a lot of places. So they showed several characters, and there's already like Milo was one of the characters, a grass-type gym leader, and I've already seen fan art for Milo that I can't unsee. You don't follow the same Twitter accounts I do. Loki, I've seen things. then they, of course, announced the release date. November 15th, 2019 is the global release day, and they showed the mythical Pokemon. I'm probably going to mispronounce these. Sorry. Zacian and Zamazenta were shown there, and they were shown in a little fight, fighting each other. I liked Zamazenta a little better because it actually has, like, the shield face, and I just thought the color scheme was a little – yeah. So I think I might be a little more Pokemon Shield, but I want to hear a little closer to the date – all the Pokemon that are exclusive in one game versus the other, because I'm sure there will be a bit of a list, but I'm sure lots of people are going to be picking up this game, both types. And knowing my buddy Shane, who I saw in chat already, he's probably going to buy 17 copies of the game anyway, so I won't have a problem trading for whatever Pokemon I need. And he's already corrected me. Legendary, not mythical. My bad. I thought I said legendary, but there's just so many Pokemon to be excited about. So... You're not showing more excitement about Pokemon, Loki. Are you gonna pick it up?
Maybe. I don't know.
I will for sure. I'm excited about a mainline game on the Switch. I really am. So
I haven't played any of the mainline games, so I don't know.
Really? You should fix that. All right. SG100 Matt in chat says, the dual pack with both games is a lame deal. $120 for both games. You get better deals if you buy them individually from retailers. Some are offering $10 credit for pre-ordering. Shad Starzik or Shane in our chat is following that up, saying they will probably add something to sweeten the deal, like bonus items in-game or something, maybe a steelbook. Yeah. Or a shiny. What do you want to bet? Get shiny Pikachu. I don't know. I'm pulling something out of my ass. Get shiny XYZ. Shiny Wooloo. For buying the combo kit or something like that. Maybe that'll be a thing. Somebody's going to be mad I spoke that into existence, but sorry. Mistake Theory says, I always get the second game, so I'm in for S.H.I.E.L.D. That's an interesting way to do it. Always get the second game listed. So red and blue, X and Y. Kind of interesting way to do it. I like that. All right. Let's move on to Stadia. Let's talk about Google Stadia. You want to talk about Stadia, Loki? I've been talking. I know you've been keeping an ear on the Bethesda thing, but they just finished, right?
Yeah.
So talk about Stadia.
I didn't really watch the Stadia event. I just read the press stuff. So basically, they talked a little bit about the service and everything, what the requirements would be in pricing, all that stuff. So the Stadia is going to launch in November, and they have it in 14 different countries. They said right now they're shooting for like 31 games from 21 publishers. They have this Founders Edition that's $130, which includes like the Stadia controller. I think like one of the Google, I forget, the Chromecast type thing. And then they've also got 3 months of the Stadia Pro service. And then also, I think there's also 3 months of Stadia Pro for a friend as well, which is interesting.
That's a clever idea. Yeah.
And then, of course, some of the games that they are mentioning were beyond the service. So from Bethesda, for example, they have Doom Eternal, Doom 2016, Rage 2, The Elder Scrolls Online, Wolfenstein Youngblood, Bungie has Destiny 2. They've got Thumper on there, Metro Exodus, Grid, Farming Simulator 19, Square Enix's Final Fantasy 15, Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. 2K's got NBA 2K, Borderlands 3, Mortal Kombat 11 is going to be in there. Lots of Ubisoft games. So, I mean, it's got a pretty good selection of titles. Now,
it's not Netflix.
It's not Netflix. So that Stadia Pro, so what that is, that allows you to do the 4K streaming at 60 frames per second. And then you also get like the surround sound along with that. There's going to be free games with it. So kind of think, I would think like...
PlayStation Plus kind of does.
Yeah, PlayStation Plus or something like
Destiny
that.
Destiny 2 is confirmed to be one of those. Yeah.
But no, you do not get the whole library for free. There is a mode if you don't want to do 4K streaming, you can do 1080p streaming for free. And it's only in stereo as well. But apparently, the requirements that you need to actually stream that. So it's, I think, 35 megabits down if you want to do the 4K streaming, and then anywhere from, I think, 10 to get the 720p. And then, of course, as Bobby's mentioned, and as it's on of all our minds, that's going to eat through your data cap so fast.
Well, the 4K streaming, you can get 60 hours out of it, I believe some of the math has been said, before you hit 1 terabyte. Now, this will be a question, I think, for cable companies to answer as well. I don't want to necessarily, shoot Google in the foot and say this thing is terrible because, of bandwidth caps and so forth. I see they're trying to get out in front of it. I mean, it is inevitable. Bandwidth caps will raise because they've risen before. As we rely more and more on the internet and so forth, the market is going to force those bandwidth caps to raise. It's just a question of when. I don't know if it's going to be later this year. In fact, I highly doubt it. So people are going to have to budget that a little bit if they plan to do 4K gaming. But I don't know about you, Loki. I don't have a 4K TV. So if I were to go get a Chromecast and put that and so forth, I wouldn't be doing it anyway. But I'm a little more – when it comes to Google Stadia, I want to like it. There's things about it I do like. I think the controller's kind of neat. I like this whole concept of you can pick it up everywhere. I just don't like the idea of paying $60 for this game that's kind of what I think where a lot of the OnLive jokes come from, right? Is that you bought this game full price online and you don't really own it because, heaven forbid, Google Stadia ever go away. And Google has sunsetted many of their products. Pour one out for Google Plus. Or Google Buzz, or Google Wave, or, right? So there's you know, a lot of Google stuff sometimes gets sunsetted. But at the same time, I don't want to like shit on this and say it's terrible. I don't think it's terrible. I just feel like, oh, I just wish they'd opted for a different – like I wish they would try to strengthen – you know, especially now that Microsoft's kind of put out this Ultimate Game Pass, I'm like, well
here's a perfect comparison. Okay, so we're talking Stadia versus Microsoft's offerings. So like, if I have a modern day PC and I'm willing to pay $10 a month, I can either get Stadia Plus and I can stream games to that, but I don't get any sort of game library with that. Or I could pay $10 a month and go the Microsoft Games Pass route, and I have a library of hundreds of games that are constantly getting brand new games added in it. Why would I want to pay for $10 a month to do 4K streaming for... I just don't... It doesn't make any sense.
I feel like this... I know it's going to be a weird thing to say because I know Google feels like they have to be competitive. I know they feel like they want to get out in front of this because this is where the industry is going, and I think that is all correct. I think they are launching this 1 year too soon. Because I think if they'd waited to be able to maybe respond a little more to what now Microsoft is doing on this side and maybe wait to see if you know, some of the 4K streaming is only going to get bigger and bigger on Netflix and Amazon Prime. Maybe that's going to start the conversation about bandwidth caps and so forth. I just kind of feel like this is almost 1 year too soon. But to be fair, I'm going to raise the counterpoint a lot of you are probably thinking about right now. Stadia kind of isn't really launching fully this year anyway.
It's true.
It's only on that Chromecast. And it's a very limited thing.
And to be fair, Stadia doesn't require a powerful PC to run. It's just streaming. Whereas the Microsoft stuff is running on your PC hardware. But they're also going to have their Microsoft cloud service thing that I don't know how that's going to play into it once that launches. But for me, I have what I have. And so I'm not really interested in Stadia in that sense because I don't need another system to play Destiny 2 on. I have Destiny 2 on several systems and I don't play it.
Stadia might do really well. I'm gonna be fair, because again, I don't want to like shit on what Google's doing, because there are like, there's little pieces in here that I really like and I want to see them succeed. So I hope at least maybe Google's opening to maybe shifting this around a little bit, maybe if they learn some things from this launch and so forth. But where I do think Google stands to do very well is in countries that don't always get supported very well by Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, which I know is ironic because Stadia is only launching in 14 countries. I know is also ironic because other countries only have so much limited access to internet. But I still think there might be enough places in the world where at least the 1080p streaming, which, let's be real, for most people is going to be good enough. And some of you are talking about this in chat as well, is that if you don't have a TV of a certain size, 4K isn't going to do much for you anyway. So, you know, for a lot of people, 1080p is going to be good enough for now,
yeah.
Right? So there may be a lot of parts of the world where consoles aren't as easy to come by, where maybe Stadia may be a more attractive alternative. But again, it just depends on, well, if the consoles aren't easy to come by, how's the internet infrastructure? But, you know, it just depends on what country we're talking about. So anyway, now Mistake Theory points out, I don't think it's too little too late. If it works really well and keeps getting games, I'll forego a next-gen system. And I was in the Assassin's Creed test, and I loved it. And I will say, a lot of people that were in that test, I don't hear negative things about it. A lot of people that were in that saying, yeah, it was responsive, it played very well, it was a very impressive piece of technology. So, you know, I think we need to all keep that in mind. I think one thing Google really needs to do when they come out the gate in 2020 is they need to have not just that free, but they need to sprinkle in a few free games just to get you hooked. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't they announce the base Destiny 2 pack is going to be free for everybody anyway?
They did.
Okay.
Destiny 2 in the first year of like DLC that was for it.
Okay. So there you go. Why doesn't Stadia just give the Destiny 2 thing for the free level people, that base thing you just mentioned, for the free level people, so that people can get a taste of it, people can sample it? Because maybe it'll win me over. If I get my hands on it and I play it on my like shitty old laptop and it runs really well, I might be like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Well, and that's the other thing, too. Like, they showed off, like, some games, I want to say, that may have multiplayer in them. Do I have to buy two of these controllers to do that? I mean, because...
Probably, but you could also probably have one person on controller, one person on keyboard and mouse, or... I don't know. It'll work with other controllers, won't it? Didn't they show
it
the
did.
Other
It did. Yeah, it so. Does, but the best controller because it connects directly to the Wi-Fi or something.
Right.
Like there's going to be that much latency. I don't know, but all right, whatever.
All right, to be continued. And then we got to Bethesda, which was wrapping up as our show started tonight. So if Loki seemed a little distracted, he kind of had one ear on the Bethesda thing while that was going on. And so tell, because I don't even know everything they talked about. So
they
what
didn't
did we
talk
miss?
About much. In fact, I'm going to just try to see if I can pull up
well,
an article.
Our expectations were kind of low, right?
It was
no
very
Starfield,
low.
No Starfield,
no
Elder Scrolls.
No, they weren't
going to
show any of
they
that.
Said that.
So yeah, basically, it was the same type of stuff you would expect that they would show. So they talked a little bit about Fallout 76 and that there's going to be a brand new set of content coming out for that free. So they have, for example,
Battle Royale.
Yes, there's this nuclear winter mode called Battle Royale. It's a 52-player Battle Royale game.
Didn't they also kind of apologize for Fallout 76? I thought I heard
they
that
did.
Was,
they did
that
apologize that they'd received lots of critique. There's a brand new free update called Wastelanders that's going to have human NPC characters as well with full dialogue trees, a new main quest that's coming out this fall. And then apparently if you want to try Fallout 76, you can do that. They have a free week or so that's from the 10th through the 17th or 16th. Yeah, the 17th. So you can try it out then. Elder Scrolls Blades is coming to Switch and no one gave a shit. They have the Elder Scrolls Legends, which is going to be the next expansion for that. It's called Moons of Elsewhere. They also have Elder Scrolls Online Dungeon DLC called Scalebreaker. They showed off a little bit of Wolfenstein Cyberpilot, which is a VR game coming in July. A game that I was excited for when they originally were showing this trailer, Commander Keen.
That's pretty cool. Commander Keen's back.
It's pretty cool. It's a 2D side-scrolling game. It is, unfortunately, a mobile title, and it looks like it's just all hope that I had for it just went, like, right down the tube.
Choices.
Rage 2 is getting an expansion called Rise of the Ghosts. They also talked about this new software technology for game streaming called Orion. That's something that it, I guess, is developing and they're implementing at the engine level that lets game streams with or stream with much lower latency. It's supposed to help stream games at max settings. So I guess that's...
But this is something they're looking to implement in things like Starfield.
I think maybe like stuff that they're looking to implement and maybe like with like Stadia games and stuff like that because they do have stuff coming on there. Deathloop is another game that's coming out by... I think it's was it Arcade Lion.
It
looks like an action game, but it's a time loop type thing. I'm not really sure what it was based on the trailer. It just showed like two people like fighting each other, and then they had a Ghostwire Tokyo, which was another game that was teased. Looked kind of interesting, and then of course they showed off Doom Eternal, and it looks amazing. So,
did they date it?
They did. It was November 22nd, I think, or it's in November.
Cool.
So
The Doom reboot.
22nd.
The Doom reboot was so good. So I'm happy to hear.
They also have a multiplayer mode called Battle Mode, and it's two players.
Battle Royale mode.
Two players control a demon versus one player, who's Doom guy.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So.
So it's like Pac-Man versus, but Doom. That's kind of, okay. I kind of like that. That's cool.
So yeah, neat. But yeah, nothing unexpected, really, and nothing surprising. Just kind of standard fare.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I think we knew it was going to be more. You know, and in general, it's a break. You know, this is the last year of the current gen before we bring on the next gen. And I imagine things like Starfield, Elder Scrolls 6 are almost assuredly the next gen systems at this point. So very interesting to see kind of, you know, I think next year's E3 is going to be quite a show, I bet. So anyway, we're going to, you know, usually we do this a little more towards the top of the show. But with all the E3 hype tonight, you know, we wanted to get all that news out of the way. A little bit of a different flow for E3. So next week's show will be the same thing because this time next week, we're only partway through E3. So still to come, we have the PC Gaming Conference. Your favorite is going to be tomorrow. Devolver's going on right now. So, and they're already they're saying it's a Nintendo Direct parody. Apparently, So I'm sure that's hoot and a holler.
We'll
try to get the bullet points on that before the show is out tonight. But I'm sure you'll watch the whole thing later if it's that funny. But we also know Nintendo is a huge deal. People are waiting for that's Tuesday
in television.
The Amico is apparently showing. Bobby gave us the tea at the end of his show that they're doing something behind closed doors tomorrow. We don't know if it's going to be embargoed or not, but we may get.
Why would you do it behind closed doors and not like get the information out?
Well, it may be embargoed until a certain date. They may not want it all. You know, they may be showing people. They may be trying to get buyers. You know that from your world that you used to be in. Maybe they're trying to get the buyers and the shelf space, basically. They want to show people it to get the shelf space at Target and things like that. And maybe the press to some extent, but maybe they don't want their news being lost in E3 weeks. They might embargo it till later. Who knows? We don't know. Okay. We don't know. We might see everything tomorrow. We don't know. Square Enix is going to be tomorrow. And actually here, I'll plug right now, here at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, you can actually check out Bobby Blackwolf and I are bringing you a special spinoff show tomorrow. We're going to live react to the Squeenix conference. The thing we always said, we don't understand why people do these. We've heard from enough people that have said things akin to, God, I wish I could have seen Rob when they announced Phantasy Star Online 2. So... All right. Now, this Square Enix, I know, is not maybe the one you want to see us react to, but the reality is we hold day jobs, the 9-to-5 type of thing. So the Square Enix is in the right time slot for us to do. So we'll do a react tomorrow for Square Enix.
That'll Ubisoft and...
Ubisoft is still coming up at the PC show.
Nintendo.
Nintendo on Tuesday. Yeah, so I feel like I'm missing somebody.
It's probably more stuff during the week, too. Like, there's always the Treehouse Live stuff that they always show more things.
You might give a little bit there, too.
Is Sony doing any sort of, like, streaming stuff? Like, I don't know.
No, we don't think Sony has any type of response, or they're relying on third parties to carry them through. So we don't know. We don't know. And Bobby is saying in chat about the Intellivision, it's not embargoed. They just don't have a booth. And they have a meeting room, which is cheaper, and they're only booking by appointment is basically what it is. So very cool. All right. Let's get into our gaming weeks. So the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Usually we would have done this earlier in the show, but, you know, it's going crazy around here.
Well, I've got unfortunate news. I haven't played anything this week.
What?
I played a little bit of Pokemon Go.
Fake gamer.
So I was just busy. It was a very stressful week, but didn't play anything.
I played a little bit. Pokemon Go had Community Day yesterday, and I was really distracted. I wasn't able to play a ton because I was out. There's Pride was going on here locally this weekend. Which, by the way, on a Pride tangent, real quick, happy Pride, and to everybody that's celebrating. And also, I should point out a little shout out because I've already seen this happen in our chat, and I do want to say thank you. Twitch is running a cute little Pride promotion right now where there are special emotes, and if you cheer at least 200 biddies with one of those emotes, and it's all there in the biddies thing, then you actually enable extra emotes for random chatters. For example, She-Hulk 10 just did one. Thank you. And I got a little Pride Lion out of it in chat. So it's kind of cool. Like, if you do cheers, you're actually giving our chatters emote icon gifts. So that's really cool. So thank you to everybody that's participating in that. I'll read off the names of the donators a little later on in the show, but I did want to say thank you. And what's also very important about that is that Twitch is actually making, I believe they're a percentage of that. It's a small percentage, but it is a percentage. It's going to the Trevor Project, which is a great charity for LGBTQ+. So great. Fantastic. And thank you, Twitch, for supporting that. Anyway, okay, so sorry. My gaming week was distracted with Pride, Pokemon Go, but I did catch 4 shinies of the pink slack-offs. And for not really playing, that's pretty good. So I'll take it. I played a lot of Diablo 3. That's really been my go-to clicky-click party game. I'm up to Paragon 170. So I've played a lot. I've done a lot of rifts. I've leveled gems up to 25, gotten the extra abilities. So I'm enjoying that, playing my wizard. Also been playing a little bit of Heroes of the Storm, Final Fantasy 14, because the expansion's only like 3 weeks away. And so there's a lot of hype, or early access is only like 3 weeks away. So there's a lot of hype going into Shadowbringers and the next expansion of Final Fantasy 14. So I'm really excited about that. And been watching some stuff on Twitch, but otherwise, as far as playing other stuff, I haven't really sat down with any other games in depth this week. I was playing a little more Antstream and some of the streamable stuff on there, but too many games I was sampling to list off. But they're not going to add any more games to Antstream during early access. They've kind of said, you know, early access is just this list, and then we are going to add they said they're going to add games on a regular basis, but they don't want to, like, say, we're going to add 5 games every Thursday. They don't want to behold themselves to a schedule. They say, we're going to release games when they're done, but there will be a fair amount, basically. But they did add new challenges. So they added, like, a few more challenges. That's kind of nice to see them still doing that. So very, very cool. So, that was really it for my gaming week. So I think with that, we've got plenty more news to come a little later on in the show here. But let's get to the classic game of the week. Dark Soccer is not here tonight, so you know what that means. I invited on a guest this week. So you ready to get to it?
Yes, let's get to it.
And so we're going to take a trip down memory lane to a segment that we call the classic game of the week. And usually, Dark Soccer or Jamie Summers, she steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should be checking out this game this week. But as I mentioned earlier in the program, Dark Soccer is not going to be able to make the show tonight. So as we've been doing lately, when Jamie's unavailable, we've been inviting some special guests on the show to help us fill in. So helping us fill in on tonight's program, please welcome back to the show, podcaster and regular streamer. Welcome back, Delvin, Video Game Realness. Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, welcome back. It's been a few months since we had you here live.
It's been a moment.
It's been a hot minute. So let's get to it. I have a lot I want to talk to you about, but specifically, this segment is the classic game of the week. So let's get into it. You know the drill. We're going to pick a game, and we're going to spotlight that game this week. So I said you can pick pretty much any game you want except this list of 500 games we've already done. So what did you pick for the classic game of the week this week?
Well, I went through the list and I had two options, and I was actually surprised that this one that I chose was not on the list. It's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for the NES.
Oh, good pick. Good pick. Tiger Claw is screaming somewhere. He's a big Ninja Turtles fan. No, this is great. So tell us about it.
Well, so I'm a huge Ninja Turtles fan myself. I was obsessed with Ninja Turtles as a child. Like, if you could name any type of Ninja Turtles paraphernalia that existed back then, whether it be pencils, the figurines, the blimp, April O'Neil, the communicators, shoes, binders, everything Ninja Turtles related, I had it. So,
binders full of turtles?
Yes. So there was natural extension that when this game was available, my parents got it for me. Well, actually, technically, no, my parents didn't get it for me. So I live in Canada, and I have an aunt that lives in the U.S., and games were significantly cheaper in the U.S. So my aunt had bought, like, 8 games for us and she sent them to us. And so this was one of the games that she bought for us because, of course, she knew that I liked Ninja Turtles. So this game was released in 1989 and is a side-scrolling platform game with an overhead overworld. So you kind of go over in the overworld, and then there's like sewers that you go into for each level. And of course, it stars the 4 Ninja Turtles, Leonardo, Raphael, Michelangelo, Donatello. And they all feature their special weapons with varying different power and speed. So Leonardo is kind of your all-around average guy. Raphael is quick, but very weak, but good at eliminating small mobs. Michelangelo is kind of your, again, all around, and Donatello's slow, but his is the most powerful weapon. So the storyline of the game is very much what you can expect from an NES game. There is very little storyline, but the storyline follows very much the Ninja Turtles arc, where you're trying to battle Shredder. He has a weapon that can turn Master Splinter back into a human, so they're trying to get that back. And the game starts out with you having to rescue April O'Neil, and you go through and rescue April O'Neil, and then you find out, oh, you have to go do something else, and while you're going to do that, oh, Master Splinter gets kidnapped. And then you have to go save him, and then you go and you defeat Shredder. So it is a overworld game, and you go through different levels. just traversing, trying to find where the end level is, because it starts out pretty simple, where there's only like certain worlds that you can go into. But once you start to get into the later parts of the game, there's a whole bunch of levels that are pretty much optional. You don't even have to do them. So it's kind of an adventure in that sense, where you have to kind of figure out where it is that you need to go. But there are little things that you can pick up along the way to make the journey a bit easier for you. So they do have special weapons that the Ninja Turtles can get as on-use weapons. And they come in the quantity of 20 usually. So they have the Ninja Stars, they have triple Ninja Stars, Boomerangs, and the Almighty Scrolls. The Scrolls are the best item to get in the game. It's especially handy for beating bosses. So there's some world levels that have those Scrolls, and generally when you're playing it, you want to stock up all your turtles with it, because each of the four can have one of the special weapons. So you can kind of mix it up. But the thing is, some levels have them predetermined as to where they are, and then sometimes you'll go through a level and then one of these special weapons will just show up, and if you walk right into the item, you end up losing it. So that was one of the caveats to the game, where you'd like stock up on Scrolls so that you could, you know, make the bosses easier when you got to them, but you had to be very careful as you were going through levels to make sure not to accidentally pick up like basic boomerangs, because they're not as powerful as the Scrolls. So anyway, as you go throughout the game, this is one of the, like, a very, very hard game. And I was never able to beat it until back then. What happened was, so my parents bought me this videotape, VHS tape, that had... Yeah. So, because, you know, GameFAQs wasn't a thing.
Yeah, no, and there was no internet. There's dial-up.
There was no internet.
Maybe, yeah.
And like, the strategy guides existed, but it was really only for, like, the really popular games. So, like, your Marios, your Zeldas, Ninja Gaiden, those type of games. The really popular ones were the ones that were getting strategy guides made in Nintendo Power and stuff like that.
And so, a strategy guide is not going to get you, like, the timing on that infuriating dam stage where you're trying to disarm the bombs and all that stuff. Like, a strategy guide is not going to show you.
Okay, I don't even want to talk about the dam stage, okay?
Well,
No pun intended.
I believe it's showing on the screen right now, but that's all right.
Yeah, like...
it's a notorious part of the game.
Yes. This level is horrible because, like, it has, like, seaweed in certain sections, and the seaweed is kind of like a pulls you in as a current, so like it's hard to swim in certain sections, and there's lightning, and it's just a very horrible level. I still have PTSD over it. So the tape was a complete playthrough, pretty much like what you would see on YouTube now, but on a VHS tape back then. And this guy narrated how to get through the game, what levels you should go into to kind of get the Scrolls, the best ways to beat certain levels, because the later on you progress through the game, like once you get into like the Technodrome is like insane, and you start to also get limited amounts of pizza, which is what is used to regenerate your life. So you start getting less of that as you progress with the game. And then even if you want to get some, you have to kind of go to a far part of the stage to even get pizza to rejuvenate it. So the game just becomes increasingly harder that way. And then you technically don't have any lives. Your lives are the Ninja Turtles. So the Ninja Turtles can die, and then you can go to a certain level and rescue them, because they get captured. They don't necessarily die. But if all four of the turtles get captured, that's it. You have to basically continue. I think you get two continues before you have to start all over again from the beginning. So it is a very hard game. So one of the things I was actually looking up for this game to talk about this today was the regional differences of the game. So the game was released for the Famicom in Japan a few months earlier than the American NES version under the name Geki Kame Ninja Den. which loosely translates to Legend of the Radical Ninja Turtles. And this was the first Ninja Turtles product released in the country, predating the Japanese dub of both the first film and the animated series. And subsequent Ninja Turtles games released in Japan kept the franchise original title. And while graphics and gameplay are virtually identical, the Japanese localization changed the plot by turning April O'Neil from an acquaintance of the Turtles to Splinter's daughter. Huh. So, it's such a random change to make that they would make April Splinter's daughter, but especially because the game doesn't really have that much dialogue that would really be able to convey that. So it's interesting that they would have changed the dialogue to actually convey, oh, this is Splinter's daughter. Well, so I just found that was...
Exploring Splinter turning into a human, that was something I don't remember ever being addressed. I mean, it's been a long time, and I don't follow the series as closely as some of the rest of you, but I seem to remember that was kind of an angle unique to the game, right? Or did they explore that in one of the movies or something?
Yeah, they did in the first or second movie.
Oh, shit.
I can't remember.
Shows you how much
I can't
remember.
Recall. Yeah, because they go into the history of how Splinter and Shredder know each other and all that stuff.
I will have to. The movie I saw more than any of them was the third one when they went back to feudal Japan and all that stuff. But anyway,
that's the worst movie.
I know, right?
You need to watch the first and the second one. Those are the ones you definitely have to watch. And then also, so the game was released as Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles in all the European territories. So that's another little side tidbit there. But yeah, this game, it is not like all the other Ninja Turtle games that we've come to know for Ninja Turtles games as the side-scrolling beat-em-up games where you can play up to four players. Like, the one that came after this was the Ninja Turtles the arcade game.
Right.
And was completely different from this. Like, it wasn't any of the overworld stuff. It was just your straightforward side-scrolling adventure. None of this driving in a turtle van all over the city to, you know, find where Master Splinter is and all these different levels. Like, it was just straightforward. You went from point A to point B, but this one was a little bit different. Kind of almost, I want to say, open world, but not. For NES, it was what you could probably consider open world. And also, one of the other things that it had was randomly generated levels. Well, not levels, but I would say the enemies that would show up whenever you entered the level were not always exact. Like, so if you left a stage and re-entered, the enemies could change. And sometimes the type of enemies that you got would change mid-level. So you could, there's generally like a grouping of enemies that would be paired together, and sometimes they would just randomly change mid-level, and it would never be consistent. So,
you know what,
that
game
was also another.
Sorry, you know what game I'm kind of reminded of with the Konami and Ultra sort of games where you have like the overworld, but then you go into these like side stages and so forth? Metal Gear was kind of like,
yes,
that in a way.
Absolutely. I was actually going to bring that up. So,
oh, wow.
This game, yes, was developed by Konami and then, of course, published under the name Ultra Games, because Nintendo had a whole rule back then where publishers could only were limited to how many games they could publish under their brand per year. So Konami jumped that or beat that by having all these different companies, Ultra Games being one of them. And so Metal Gear was also in this type of similar style with the overworld and then you going into certain levels. So probably was developed by the same team. I didn't look that up before before doing this, but it's a good chance that it was developed by a similar team that did this game. So yeah, Ninja Turtles for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
And what a catchy soundtrack the game had too, for sure.
That's, oh yeah, you know, I absolutely love the soundtrack in this game. Even though it's like, you know, NES and you don't expect like, you know, amazing soundtracks, but like it was very, very catchy, the music that they did have in the game.
Yeah, despite the fact that the game is like notoriously difficult, I think elements like that, the fact that it was kind of like a mixture of these different kind of genres all at once, a little bit, and then the great music and all that stuff, like I know that's why I remember the game, you know, as opposed to the arcade game, which is this whole other, you know, thing. So
there's actually also a a Ninja Turtles game, Fall of the Foot Clan for Game Boy, that is kind of similar in this style of level, but didn't have an overworld. So, like, the levels were kind of similar to how it is in this Ninja Turtles versus, like, arcade games. But, again, there was no overworld, so it was just straightforward going through different levels.
You know, and in doing research to try to grab footage for the classic game tonight, I never realized this before, but they had ported this NES game to Commodore 64, the Spectrum, the ZX Spectrum, and there was a DOS version as well that apparently had, like, a game-breaking bug in it. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I was even unaware of that myself. But this game has been around for a while. It made its hops around the early generation of consoles that were around back then. But of course, most people remember it being on the NES.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to head back to the studio live because we have a lot of E3 ground to cover still tonight. But before we do that, I want to quickly allow you a chance to plug your streaming on Twitch if people are not already following.
Absolutely. You can catch me at twitch.tv/VGRealness, where I occasionally stream whatever games I'm currently playing at the time. And right now I'm currently replaying Final Fantasy X on the Switch.
And I have to ask you about this before we get back because, you know, something that you and I were co-streaming a little bit. I know you took a little break from streaming for a couple of months, and honestly, I've been really bad about it, too, on my personal channel. But you and I were doing a few streams where we were playing through Phantasy Star Online on a private server together. So I have
Correct.
To ask. I'm sure we've talked about this in the studio by now, but Delvin, Phantasy Star Online 2 for the Xbox, it's happening in the States. And Canada, of course, and, you know, North American regions. What was your reaction?
I'm not going to lie. I cried. when the trailer came on, I immediately, because Phantasy Star Online is one of those games where the soundtrack is so memorable, so identifiable. I knew exactly what it was before they even finished. I knew it was Phantasy Star, and I was like, oh my god, is it actually happening? I was, like, having a moment and, like, breaking down, but I was so happy.
There was definitely a part of me that, like, I think my overwhelming, and I probably already talked about this in the show, so I don't want to repeat myself too much, but I think my overwhelming reaction was, fucking finally. But kind of, like, with that, there's also that part of me that's like, no, I still don't believe it. I still don't believe that they're doing this.
I know, right? There's still a little bit of me that is like, is this actually happening? Like, yeah. Or is this a joke?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, I had to get your opinion on that. But thank you so much, Delvin, for joining us tonight for the Classic Game of the Week. Have a fantastic week, and we'll catch you on your Twitch channel soon, okay?
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me.
You are welcome. Now let's go back to the studio. All right. Thanks so much to Delvin for joining us for the Classic Game of the Week. Appreciate having him on. And if you aren't already following VG Realness here on Twitter, you should do that. We're back here with episode number 779, already in progress for tonight. I don't think I ever said the episode number at the top of the show. I was too busy crying over Fantasy Star Online, too. So welcome back to Orange Lounge Radio, episode number 779 for this June the 9th, or 6-9, nice, of 2019. And, of course, E3 week already underway. If you're just joining us, you unfortunately missed us already recapping the Microsoft event and the EA Play and Google Stadia, kind of all the stuff that we've addressed so far. And, of course, in 7 days, next Sunday, we'll be back here live to talk about Nintendo and Square Enix and Intellivision and whatever else it shows up on the floor at E3. Sadly, not attending the show in person this year. It's been a little while since we've been able to attend the show in person. But, I mean, now the way it is, it's like I feel like you just kind of get everything on YouTube anyway. So, and then Twitch and all that stuff. So I really, you know, feel like we're best kept to having a forum to talk about those types of things and discuss the things that are getting us excited. Because, you know, for, again, what is a year that's kind of supposed to be, oh, that lull before the next generation of games. There's still a lot of stuff to get excited about, even on Sony's end, you know, for not having gone to E3 this year. You know, we did talk about, well, if they showed up at E3, they'd probably be talking about a lot of the same stuff they have been, but that doesn't make The Last of Us 2 or Death Stranding or any of the stuff they have in, you know, in the pipeline any less exciting. Dreams, I'm still psyched about that game.
Yeah, it should be really good.
Yeah, it should be really good. Anyway, we're going to pick up and do some more rapid fire news, and of course later on in the show we'll be taking your phone calls at our Discord. If you are not already on our Discord, you should get there over at vognetwork.com. That's vognetwork.com/Discord. Let's get into some rapid fire news.
Well, if you're hoping to play Shenmue 3 this year, you'll still get a chance to do that. Just it'll be later on in the year. So originally it was supposed to be slated for August 2019. It's now coming out in November. November 19th is the new date for it. And on their Kickstarter page, Yu Suzuki said, "While almost ready, the game simply needs a little bit more refinement before being truly finished. We feel that the extra time we have will help us deliver the true Shenmue experience that players around the world deserve." So I'm fine with them taking more time on it.
Take the time to get it right, right?
Exactly. Now, this is kind of interesting. I'm unaware of this type of party game coming out, but apparently they're making a game called Burger Time Party. That's right. They're taking the classic Data East arcade classic game and turning it into a party game. So apparently you have to build, of course, the hamburgers, much like the original game, but now it's a little bit more competitive.
Oh, like Mario Party? Like, can you steal the lettuce from other players?
I don't know. I'm looking at
is
this.
Is it going to be that crazy like Mario Party?
Screenshots. I mean, it just looks like Burger Time. It honestly does.
We'll only need to see it in motion. Maybe we'll get some more information later on.
Yeah. Are they going to have Impossible Burgers in there as well? Or like, you know, the...
Perhaps. Perhaps. It very well might
be. Because, you know, we got to be current and everything.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on and talk about a game that I think a lot of you have played at this point, but it's one of those games where it's like, hey, it's finally getting a Switch port, and that game is Dream Daddy. Loki, I know you're a big fan. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think you've ever played
it. I have not played this game.
I actually haven't played it either. Even though I dressed up as one of the characters, I did Brian, the one that has a little corgi, because he also has like a beard thing. I dressed up at Dragon Con as him once, and like maybe three people, and thousands of people go to Dragon Con, three people knew what the hell I was doing. But you know what? For those three people, shout out. Anyway, Dream Daddy is coming out for the Nintendo Switch. It's also coming out for iOS and Android. So Dream Daddy, all the things. No official release date yet, but just confirmation that it's coming. Happy Pride, I suppose. Not soon, but now, pretty cool news for Final Fantasy fans. All the Final Fantasy soundtracks, well, I have heard a few are missing. But for the most part, a big chunk of those Final Fantasy soundtracks, I know like all the ones for 14, and like the Final Fantasy 14 music is great. Anyway, all those soundtracks on Spotify and Apple Music now. So
cool.
If you are, you know, paying for those music services, you should think about getting on there and stream the music. Good times. All right. That's it for Rapid Fire News. Let's travel around the world and check out what is coming out in stores this week.
Not a whole lot of stuff coming out over here, but we've got Battle Worlds Chronos on Nintendo Switch. We have the house in Fata Morgana, Dream of the Revenants Edition, and that's on PlayStation 4. Doraemon, Nobita's Story of Seasons, that's on Nintendo Switch. And last but not least, Blaster Master Zero on PC.
Oh, that's cool that's coming to PC. I remember hearing that is happening. So, of course, that was the Switch game. That's a really cool little, I guess, reinterpretation. I don't even know if you call it like a remaster because it's like different, but like a reinterpretation of the original Blaster Master game.
Yeah.
Little on the easy side compared to the original, but that's as I get older and worse at video games, that's okay. So I'm there for it. Let's travel to Japan. Coming out in Japan this week, let's see, I think the release day over there is, I don't know if we actually have a lot. I only see one game on June 13th for the PlayStation 4. Yumi Utsutsu Remaster coming out in Japan this week on the PlayStation 4. And checking the Nintendo Switch to see if there's anything there. Doraemon, Story of Seasons. That seems to be the big release from Bandai Namco this week. A new Doraemon game on the Nintendo Switch over in Japan. Dark Sakura has the night off, if you're just joining us. She had a conflict with the Pride events and some other stuff, some other personal obligations she had. So, Loki, do we have the UK dates available?
Yeah, not a whole lot coming out there as well. We have Kingdom Come Deliverance Royal Edition. That's on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. We have Leisure Suit Larry, Wet Dreams Don't Dry on PlayStation 4 and the Switch. Warhammer Vermintide 2 Deluxe Edition on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. World End Syndrome on PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch. And that's it.
All right. So for our next segment, we're going to get into your emails. Every week, we invite you to send us emails. Participate at orangelaundry.com is the place where you can send us an email. And we read our favorite emails here on the show. We usually read them all, unless it's like spam or something, I don't know, totally weird. Or really long. We might have to abbreviate them a little bit if they're really long. But we are going to get to the mailbag this week. We got one email, so I'll read it. And I think this actually was meant for last week, but it got in off after the cutoff because, you know, we actually opened the mailbag a little bit before showtime. So I think this got in a little late, but I'll read it now. It's a short one. The email this week from Elliot, one of our pals who's sent us emails before and used to do some stuff at VogNetwork.com. And he has moved on to much bigger and better things. I'm very happy for him. Congratulations. Not to shade ourselves, which I think I just did, but no, if I told you what he did now, you'd be like, oh, that is bigger and better things. Anyway, Elliot writes, hey, OLR, writing this fast so I make it in for the June 2nd show. After years of flirting with game dev, I'm finally getting into it, but it's bloody hard. I'm a web developer in my day job, and this is 10 times harder. Just makes you appreciate the technical wizardry of professionally released games even more. And that's from Elliot. You know, kind of also a good reminder tonight. Well, first off, Loki ought to know how hard it is to make a game because he's never finished one.
Yes, that's true.
But, I mean, it also kind of goes to show, what if somebody's, like, thinking about making a game, what are some good resources for them to start? Like, there's a lot of good YouTube tutorials out there. The internet. Yeah, it's a wide, wonderful internet out there. A lot of these modern development platforms, really good, have a lot of tutorials.
Yeah, I mean, any of them, like if you pick Unity or Unreal, they've got a lot of different tutorials out there on how to do stuff.
Yeah.
I know Unity has a ton of stuff. I've gone through a little bit of the Unreal stuff. The Unreal tutorials, like the official ones that they have, not all that helpful. They're kind of, it's weird how they have them set up, but there's a lot of like independent stuff out there that you can find that tutorials and everything out there. So you just pick your subject. And you can find some.
Bobby Blackwolf in our chat at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, what resources should they go to so they can finish a game? There's a lot about starting, but none about finishing.
That is a problem.
If Loki knew, maybe we wouldn't make fun of him so much. but no, that's true. Finishing is
well, finishing a game, first thing that you'll want to do is make sure you don't have a family and that you're not working a full-time job.
Stop. No, I honestly, well, here's the piece of advice I've always heard that you have flat out rejected. And that is to start with a game that you already know. Make Pong and then put your spin on it. Make, I don't know, make, what are other, like Breakout, make Breakout, put your spin on it, make Kaboom. Pick an Atari 2600 game, remake it, put your spin on it type of thing.
You don't even have to necessarily do that. Just like, even just following along with some of these tutorials and stuff, it'll help you with coding. Like, because a lot of them, especially if some of the ones I do, they kind of give you like, okay, here we're doing a bunch of stuff. Okay, now we're going to have you pause the video and you figure out how to do this. And then, you know, when you're done, unpause it. And then if you can't figure it out, you just watch it and it'll kind of like help you try to figure out what to do based on what you've learned already. And doing some of those, you know, will help you kind of get back into the swing of things. Like, I hadn't been coding in Unity for a long time, so I went through one of those tutorials just to build a game. Yes, there is a finished game I have. No, it's not mine because it's a Unity tutorial, so that doesn't count. But it got me back into kind of like, oh, okay, here's how all the syntax works again, and I kind of forgot how this was, and you know, here's how I do these things. And then, of course, you know, with as you're going along, especially when you're starting out, you're just going to not know how to do something or can't figure something out. You just search it, Google, you know, Stack Social. And
well, and if you even want to take it a little bit easier to just be able to create something to kind of have an outlet, like, you know, your oldest kid, 8 years old, right, is doing coding or learning how to
Scratch, develop games. Yeah. You can do Scratch. That's free.
So there's also very elementary
basic, yeah.
platforms. Or ZZT, my always favorite. But no, there's. I mean, seriously, making a Little Big Planet level and making a good one will be a lot about how to, like, you know, make a game. It's not everything, but it's a lot of, you know, if you have the patience to finish a really good Little Big Planet level, it's a start.
And all there's a lot of stuff out there that is free. Like Unity is free. Unreal Engine is free. I'm not sure, but I think that there's even a Game Maker version that's free. There's a lot of free versions of things out there. You can try it out and see if that's going to be a good fit for you. And if that engine doesn't work for you, then try something else.
Yeah, and some of those, like Steam, you know, sold game creation platforms, like there are really games that have been made on those, right? Like Five Nights at Freddy's was what, Click Studio? Was that the one that got Five Nights?
I don't know.
Sorry, guys, I don't remember which did which, but I know like Five Nights at Freddy's was made for one of those type of engines. So, and obviously that game has done very well for itself.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of things out there.
Click Team Fusion. I knew Bobby would correct me. Love having a live chat.
But yeah, I mean, and a lot of times like Humble Bundle will do like a thing of, you know, Game Maker packs and stuff like that, where you can get Game Maker Studio for like,
which Bobby points out Undertale was a Game Maker game.
Yeah.
So, and then, Akuma JP also giving advice. I know, he's had his fair share of, how to make games. Akuma JP says, just get a free project and play with it. That's the fastest. Yes. They always come with a free project. Just play with that. You'll learn a lot in no time. So that's a good suggestion as well. So lots of great suggestions about how to do it, which I know was like totally not what Elliot was like really asking. But I think also just kind of encouraging people to see what kind of goes into it. I think it also I always, you know, when people are super critical about games, right? Like, this game looks like garbage, which is so easy to say in a tweet or on a forum post or in the comment section of a YouTube. Being able to say a game is garbage is so easy to do, but like if you really know like what goes into making a game, I think you start to go away from that perspective of garbage game and more the perspective of doesn't look like my cup of tea, but it's neat that they did this, or at least, oh, somebody put together this game, looks cool, you know, maybe this is some constructive feedback I have on how to make it better. I think it really does kind of change your perspective a little bit, because unfortunately if you grew up watching, you know, G4 TV or Tech TV, you probably remember that commercial about here you should go to school and learn how to make games, and that dude sitting there going, let's turn up the graphics on level 3. He turns up and he's like, that is not fucking real at all. You all know that.
Well,
just to make sure you all know that, that's not fucking real.
The commercial's not fucking real, but they have a lot of, like, even, like, community colleges and stuff. A lot of them have, like, game-making tracks and stuff like that you can do. Don't do any of the online colleges or what, or not the online colleges, but, like, the Game Institute I wouldn't necessarily recommend. I've actually done that before just to see what that was like, and no, their stuff's pretty dated. Plus, you can find a lot of it separately. Udemy has a lot of decent ones you can find, especially when they go dirt cheap and everything. But a lot of that stuff's even on YouTube. YouTube has tons of tutorials out there. Unity, Unreal, they all do like official tutorials for their stuff. Unity's pretty good about doing that, and they do them every year during their conferences that they do. And they always go over like the new features that they have, so that's always good to stay on top of all that stuff, because sometimes it's hard to figure out, especially when you haven't worked in it in a while. Like, they've changed so much that how you used to do something isn't the way you do it anymore, or you just a lot of different, you may want to learn how do I make this type of thing happen, you know, like a driving game or something like that. It can get kind of complicated if you want to mimic some of the things that are out there, but yeah, just experiment. Don't try to overscope. It's hard to say not to do that, but you know,
take your own advice. No, I'm just kidding. All right. No.
I try.
Props to those that are trying to get into it. So thank you so much for the email. Please send us more emails. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Before we get to our next story, we have breaking news. And this is where I need a button for the breaking news, that like the graphic that comes in. So that's something for me to work on during E3. Breaking news. Apparently there has been a leak. This one's pretty major. GameSpot accidentally posted an article early. Must have dated the day wrong. You know, one of those automated pusher things.
Whoopsie doopsie.
Apparently the article says Final Fantasy VII Remake releasing this winter. So it is a Q4 2019 or Q1 2020. Remember, winter doesn't necessarily mean before Christmas. It just means it could be a January, February game. Final Fantasy VII Remake releasing this winter. Apparently the little headline on the article said winter is coming. So, you know what that means, right? And apparently the article also confirmed it is a PlayStation 4 exclusive. And apparently there is a release date reveal to happen at the concert. I guess, this concert that they were doing. It was supposed to be the time of the big reveal for that. So there it is. That is just breaking. Apparently, an article went up, and then it was pulled. But, of course, once on the internet, somebody copy-pasted it and put it on Reset Era, and then it's all over Twitter at this point. So there you go. There it is. Winter is spoiled. Bobby Blackwell says, so I guess our co-stream is canceled, Rob. No, because they're still going to show off footage and so forth, and we can act surprised at the news. We can go, what? I mean, is it surprising that Final Fantasy VII Remake is this winter?
No.
I don't think so either. I think it's dangerous if they go out much further, because, hello, next year's conversation is going to be about PlayStation 5 and the next Xbox. So I think the longer they wait to do it, they're going to be in a little more danger. Not take the time to get it right. I mean, don't get me wrong, but, you know, the unfortunate part of that is if they wait too long, then they're going to push it back to the next console, which I think will be a whole other thing going on there. So anyway,
from what I hear, though, the concert sucked.
Oh, that's too bad. You know what, though? I went to Jason, our voiceover guy, and I went to Dear Friends, the first E3 I ever went to, and it was like the first Final Fantasy concert in the States. So that was what, 2004?
Yeah.
I think it was in LA. Was the first E3. That concert was great. The next year we went to More Friends, which was at a different venue, which, to put it in perspective, that venue has since been bulldozed and turned into Harry Potter World. Fact. That is true statement. Gibson, whatever the Gibson Amphitheater.
Yeah.
They turned into Harry Potter World. That was the More Friends concert. That More Friends concert, not good.
Well, this one it says we're not at the Final. This is a tweet there. We're at the Final Fantasy VII concert. It's a legit scam. 2/3 of it has been them playing the MIDI from the game. They didn't say anywhere in the advertising that the orchestra would be sitting in pure silence, wasting everyone's time. Is they're literally playing fucking MIDI.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I hope. Oh, gosh. That does not sound good. I'll be curious for more information on that. But anyway, we're going to move on. We do have some more news that's outside of just the press conferences we've been talking about so far. There's more news showing up this week. So,
yeah.
Loki.
So they've got a new ukulele trailer that's out now for a brand new game, Ukulele and the Impossible Lair, and it looks pretty cool. It's kind of the same style as Donkey Kong Country. It's a pure side-scroller as opposed to a like kind of 3D platform game. So
awesome, because I think Donkey Kong Country is awesome, and I would love to see that sort of thing make a
yeah.
comeback. Yes, I know. Tropical Freeze was a thing, but I'd be curious.
It looks cool.
I
mean,
like, yeah.
I'd be willing to check this out. So neat.
Yeah, very cool. Are they doing a Kickstarter for it, or is it just happening?
I think it's just happening.
That's cool. All right. Well, moving on to some sources and things that are coming out of Blizzard. Blizzard has apparently canceled a StarCraft first-person shooter. This first-person shooter was in development over the last 2 years. It has apparently been confirmed by Kotaku with three people in the studio familiar with what's going on. The reason for this, Blizzard is taking those resources and putting them into Diablo and Overwatch. So the inevitable Diablo 4, which we know will be a thing eventually, not on mobile phones, and some sort of Overwatch 2, of which I know there's a lot of rumors that Overwatch 2 is going to take a PvE element to it as well as the PvP, although obviously this is not a story about Overwatch 2, but we have heard a little bit of the rumble for that. The new StarCraft game was codenamed Ares. It was supposed to be a Battlefield game in the StarCraft universe. It sounds like the Overwatch engine may have been leveraged in making this game, which is a pretty smart idea, right? If you made this first-person shooter over here, why not take the engine to make this own thing? So Battlefield in the StarCraft universe, that would have been kind of rad, probably.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I guess it didn't happen. Apparently, folks were shocked within Blizzard that this game got canceled because apparently it was looking pretty good. Here's the interesting thing. Kotaku reached out to Blizzard for comment. 99% of the time when you contact these companies for comment, what do you get? We don't comment on rumors and speculation, right? That's not what Kotaku got back. Instead, Blizzard said, we don't generally comment on unannounced projects, but we will say the following. We always have people on different ideas behind the scenes, including multiple projects right now, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We pour our heart and souls into this work. And as players ourselves, we know how exciting it can be to see and know with certainty that a new project is coming. Knowing that changes or disappointments can happen doesn't make it any less painful when we have to shelve a project or when an announcement doesn't go as planned. Why are they saying this if it ain't true? I kind of...
Yeah, it's a little bit more than we don't comment on rumors.
Yeah, it's a little more than that, right? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. With all that said, we're very much looking forward to revealing other things we're working on when the time is right, which brings me to why this cancellation is your fault. Not you specifically, but gamers. So here's the thing. Now, granted, the game may have actually been messy on the inside. I don't know. But I think the important thing about this is that those resources were shifted to Diablo and Overwatch. And that is because after that negative reception that they got from the last BlizzCon, which is in big part Blizzard's own fault and Activision's fault, I'm sure, as well. But I think after the internet collectively dragged them through the mud for not having a new Diablo game and so on, it is imperative at Blizzard, and this is how they got to fix that BlizzCon, it is imperative, it is priority number one at Blizzard right now, I'm speculating, that Diablo 4 fucking happens this BlizzCon. And it came at this cost. Because they needed the resources in order to have Diablo 4 something that you can see at this year's BlizzCon. And so that's why StarCraft getting canceled, I believe, is in part the internet's fault. Now, granted, one could argue, well, Blizzard should have never brought a half-assed thing to BlizzCon in the first place. But did you have to drag them that bad? Did you have to get up on stage and actually ask to the guy's face, which was a little bit disrespectful, is this an April Fool's joke that's out of season? What do you think? So.
Well, to be, well, to play devil's advocate, I'm sure that they felt a little bit entitled because they paid money to be at that event is why they felt entitled to see something that they wanted to see versus like, this is what we have to show you. Too bad you don't like it.
Yeah. Some folks in chat making the joke. I think I must admit I've seen before. StarCraft Ghost canceled for a second time. In a way, wouldn't that have been ironic if this game had been StarCraft Ghost? Because it didn't have a name. So they wouldn't. How about that? How can you imagine if let's fan wank for a minute, because we already know this isn't going to happen. But if they had done this BlizzCon, they do this unveil and the title comes up, it's StarCraft Ghost. People would have been like, what? That's exactly. Yeah. They would have lost their mind that StarCraft Ghost was resurrected. Right? I don't know. I think people would have went crazy. And Slidekick is in our chat and wants to know, OMG, Rob, are you drinking from a Gwen Stefani cup? Yes, I am. I got this when we saw the Vegas residency show. I'm surprised you can see that on Twitch, probably because we're zoomed in tonight. We're zoomed in a little bit on the Twitch picture because Jamie's not here, so we don't have to be over the shoulder. So we have a little tighter shot on Loki and I, so I guess you can even see what's written on the cup. So there you go.
Yes, you can. So. See, you can look right there.
Oh, yes, I can also just look at the TV, but I'm trying not to do that because when I look over here, it looks weird. So I'm trying to look at you. All right, anyway. Mistake Theory in chat says, well, maybe I'm just uninitiated, but I don't know what StarCraft Ghosts is. Hey, good call, because that was a long time ago, right? So StarCraft Ghosts was a StarCraft spinoff game that they were making, and it was like a shooty game. It was behind, you know, because StarCraft isn't like that. StarCraft is like Warcraft in space, right? It's a tactical game. But they were going to do another game in that universe that was like over the shoulder, right? It was Nova, right? It was starring her, I think, and it was like a shooty game. And it was being developed for Nintendo 64, PlayStation 1.
It was old. Yeah.
PlayStation 2, I guess. It was old. It was being made for, you know, maybe it was PlayStation 2 in that era of games. Because it would have been like the mid-late 90s. Because Bobby saw it.
Long time ago.
In Atlanta. So it would have been like, what, 98 or something like that. So it was around that time. So, yeah, it was a while ago. Yeah, Questbuster confirms there. Yeah, in the late 90s. Yeah, so. All right. So there you go. Unfortunate to hear about that cancellation at Blizzard, but who knows? Maybe the game will come back, and Diablo 4, I guess, is almost certain to be a BlizzCon announcement this year. Maybe Overwatch 2 as well, but don't get your hopes up. Don't do it, because it's a dangerous thing to do. Loki, what do you have for us?
So there's this Apple event that was going on, so... They had talked a little bit about tvOS and, of course, the new things that are going to be coming to that, which I think was one of those is called the Apple Arcade or whatever that was?
Yeah.
So part of that, though, they're saying that there's going to be support with tvOS for third-party controllers. So Xbox One and PlayStation 4 controllers have support, so you can actually use those to play games on TVOS and the games that are on there. So, neat. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, and Bluetooth. Assuming, you know, they're just assuming, I guess, that a lot of homes have those controllers
probably
already. So maybe unlike Google Stadia, they're like, well, we don't really need to sell a separate one. Well, and to be fair, in Google Stadia's case, it also supports those controllers too. It's just that they have an extra one that they're going to sell too, that, you know, ties into the network and all that stuff, whatever. But Apple maybe doesn't see a need to reinvent the wheel. They figure, oh, if people have these devices in their home already, let's just make, you know, it's all Bluetooth anyway, let's just make our device work with it, which seems pretty smart. Especially if Apple Arcade is going to have, you know, more games that require a controller. So what I'm really curious to see is when we start seeing these games that are on Apple Arcade, maybe they're not going to be necessarily just touchscreen games.
Yeah, I would That's hope exciting. So that, you know, because it otherwise it doesn't really seem like a very promising platform.
Yeah. So very curious to see more on that and how that develops and what type of games are on Apple Arcade in the future. Moving on, I'm surprised I didn't give this story to you. I guess I ran out of spots. I know you're the Borderlands fan, but feel free to comment on this further if you'd like. But it was announced that Borderlands 2 is officially, because I think it was like leaked early on, but they confirmed it.
Yeah, it leaked out onto the Steam store.
That Borderlands 2 would get new DLC, and it's in anticipation of Borderlands 3's release. The Borderlands 2 DLC is Commander Lilith and the Fight for Sanctuary. And yeah, leaked out to Steam, but then was confirmed during the Microsoft event today this DLC is upping the game's level cap to 80, and you can just start a new character at level 30 if you want to just jump right into it. So that's pretty cool.
I'll have to play it.
Yeah. Now, they're saying that this – did it just come out today?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, that's good, because I was going to say, if it doesn't release soon, then there's not going to be a lot of time to enjoy it before Borderlands 3
Yeah, because
out.
Today was also when they put it on Games Pass as well. So it's available. Games Pass also has the DLC and everything's available, and then this is available as well for free. So you get that.
Yeah, pretty cool. So I'm still on Borderlands 1. Making my way slowly to Borderlands 2, so I probably won't get to this anytime soon, but is this something you might check out?
Yeah, I might. I probably should start Borderlands 2 if that's going to be the case.
Metal Mayhem points out the DLC is free, too. So,
yeah.
Which, if it's a big advertisement for the third game, in a way, then it makes sense that you might put that out there for free to try to make sure you get those $60 pre-orders for Borderlands 3, right? And maybe some limited edition sales and so forth as well. Loki, you got one more story for us, right?
Yeah, so this is a little bit of a preview of what we might see tomorrow with Ubisoft, but apparently there is a leak that a game called Watch Dogs Legion is going to be announced tomorrow, and it's supposed to be the brand new Watch Dogs game where it's going to allow you to play as anyone. Every individual you meet in the open world has a full set of animations, voiceover, character traits, and visuals that are generated and guided by gameplay systems. So that's how they're describing it, according to the Amazon UK listing for this. So neat that that would be a thing. I don't know how exactly that plays into it. The new game is supposed to take place in London. So I guess we'll find out tomorrow, which I'm sure this will be a big part of the announcement. Or they're going to have, like, I would imagine a big portion of the Ubisoft event dedicated to this. Of course, not before they have a really awkward fucking dance number for Just Dance, because they do that every fucking year and it's goddamn annoying. And I'm sure this year will be no different.
Yeah, I have to work tomorrow anyway, and I'm not gonna try to watch these things while I'm at work. I'll look at the bullet points, though, what you missed a little later on. If there's some good YouTube trailers to see, I'll look at those. But
yeah,
the Square Enix one is probably the only one I'm gonna watch live, because I wonder if they'll announce a release date for Final Fantasy VII Remake.
I wonder.
Maybe. That would make a lot of sense. They got Sony's slot. I wonder if they might be announcing anything for PlayStation 4 tomorrow that might be a big deal for this year. Or early next year, maybe. All right. Anyway, we're about to get to our Discord calls. So if you want to join our Discord over at vognetwork.com/Discord, that'll get you an invite to the server. We'll be taking those calls in just a little bit. If you want to join our Green Room channel and tell us what you want to call in about tonight in our channel Orange Lounge Radio. But first, I'm sure you guys have seen this story floating around the internet. there is going to be Xbox body wash coming out. That's right.
Are they going to hand that out at E3?
Let's hope. Some personal hygiene products called Xbox Lynx, which is funny because Atari had a system called the Lynx, and it's spelled L-Y-N-X. Yeah, right. So the Xbox Lynx. Lynx is what they call Axe in Australia. So like Axe body spray, you know, that's what they call it in Australia. So assumably, if this product is kind of coming stateside as well, it's going to be Microsoft Axe as well. However, a representative did say there are no plans to offer this in the U.S. at this time. However, we would certainly love to. So this may only be a thing that's going to be Australia, New Zealand, China, or something like that. It is a nice bright green color because, you know, if you've ever seen like Axe body wash sitting on the shelf, it's always these like giant fluorescent colors. You know, like there's like crazy blue and screaming yellow and so just like screaming Mr. Smush in the background over there. Jesus. Screaming yellow and red and all these very bright colors.
Yeah.
So this bright green that they're looking at doing the Xbox Lynx in is no different. But how do you feel about game makers getting into body washes?
It makes sense. And if it gets some people aware, you know, to bathe themselves, then I'm all for it.
I couldn't help but laugh my ass off when this was the first thing I saw after I read that article about how some dude wants to do a straight pride parade in Boston. I was like, oh, Xbox Axe. Here's some official gear. Although, I don't know if you saw what Axe Body Spray said to somebody on Twitter. But I got to say, props to Axe. Somebody, you know, Axe posted like a happy pride, you know, like a lot of corporations do this month. And of course they got that response that was like, gay people shouldn't be celebrated, blah, 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 blah. And Axe responded something to the effect of, I don't have it right in front of me. Axe responded something to the effect of, gay rights are human rights, but go off, Jill. And as much as I'm not a big fan of the like humanizing of brand accounts on Twitter because they're everywhere, that one was fucking funny. So, and I'll always, you know, I always appreciate a good dragging of somebody who is completely wrong on that issue. So, anyway, She-Hulk 10 in chat says, "I would like to smell like a new Xbox."
Does it smell like burning, you know, burning components? Is it Red Ring of Death smell?
They don't say what it smells like. It smells like green, I guess. I don't know.
Green.
Yeah, it's that. Anyway, I will check in to see if there's any last-minute stories, but some folks in chat are commenting on Mr. Smush. S2 and Hunter Matt saying, Mr. Smush has E3 breaking news. Feed me and give me attention. Can you guys hear? That is really loud. He's very... very big. He knows it's about dinner time and his other dad should be home right now to feed him. But my understanding is that his other dad is in line at Target right now, so he's not home yet. So I think Mr. Smush is just very anxious for some wet food, even though the fat boy got dry food just a couple hours ago, didn't he? You want to come make a cameo? Mr. Smush? Smush? Want to come make a cameo?
He's like, no.
No, he's just going to stand over there and look. Sorry, guys. All right. Anyway.
Oh, he'll come to me.
Oh, is he coming over? That doesn't mean he'll get picked up on cam, though. He's got to get up on the couch in order to get up on cam.
Well, he can come up here. Look, I got food. Food over here.
Oh, is that? He smells the food. All right, we're going to get to a call while Loki continues to try to placate Mr. Smush here. Let's get to it. And then I'll ask for any last-minute stories. But first we have a call. Hi, you're on Orange Launch Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, everyone? It's Rama.
Hey, Rama. Good to hear from you. Wow, you're coming through loud. Sorry if it's echoing back to those of you that are listening live. I'll try to adjust the volume on the fly. What's on your mind tonight, buddy?
Not too much. And I'm also adjusting the volume on the fly on my end, too, just to be on the safe side.
No worries. What's on your mind tonight?
All right. I saw the Microsoft presser, and I was done at PSO2. I was absolutely done.
Did you see the opening to tonight's show?
I probably missed it because I was on my way back from another outing because I had been out all week. And as soon as I came home and rested,
it's all right. It's all right. Go back and watch it. Hopefully somebody clipped it. But if they didn't, then go back and watch it at some point.
I will.
So you're excited about PSO2 as well?
Yes. I mean, to put it frankly, I'm watching here. I'm like, no way. No, wait. Then I go, wait. that Valkyria, no. That's got to be PSO 2. Right then and there, I looked at the screen and I looked at my laundry, the fresh laundry screen. I changed my underwear after seeing that. I was done.
So you are also hype about PSO 2. Are you, I expressed a reservation that, this game's been out for years and years and years. How are they going to keep it fresh and interesting? Do you have any reservations of that sort? Or you're just like, no, just put it in my veins.
Not really. I mean, the fact that it's going to be free to play and they're giving us all of the expansions, I think they're going to do right by us. So,
yeah, I'm just trying not to get my expectations up too high, so that I'm pleasantly surprised when it exceeds my low expectations, which I think is a good thing to do in general, right?
Basically, go in expecting the best but preparing for the worst.
Yeah. So did anything else at the Microsoft presser catch your eye, or is it like you just everything else is a blur because of that?
Battletoads, I was like, oh yeah? For real? Okay. Game on.
What did you think about the Game Pass that they're offering? The $14.99 a month, gold, plus Game Pass on Xbox, plus Game Pass on PC. Because I have to admit, the fact that now Game Pass is on PC and it's bundled with like Xbox Live for the console, and then the Xbox, I'm kind of interested. I think. What were your thoughts?
I kind of feel Microsoft is spreading themselves thin with that, but on the same token, they're trying to incorporate everybody. But I don't game enough to say that this is a worth value. So if anybody else is going to get it, they'll probably enjoy it a lot better than I would.
Fair enough. Well, anything else you want to say about Microsoft's event tonight?
Cyberpunk 2077, bro.
Yeah, that game looks pretty hot. What about Keanu?
Now, y'all know me. I am the cheap gamer. You have to have a really good reason for me to go out and buy a game day one and pay that $60 price. I was already looking into picking up 2077. I really enjoyed the trailer from last year and the 45-minute gameplay through. I'm like, okay, I'm going to enjoy this. This was just the icing on the cake for me.
Yeah, for sure. I think Keanu is a nice... He's a nice cherry on top of this dessert many yes. people were waiting for already. So it was very, very awesome.
Real question is, though, since this is a game where you can romance people, are you going to be able to romance Keanu Reeves?
Oh, yeah. One of my friends wrote a tweet that said, when do I get to fuck Keanu Reeves? And I just retweeted it. I thought it was funny.
I might have to find that tweet and retweet it my own self.
Yes. All right. Well, Rama, anything else on your mind tonight?
In response to the article about Xbox body wash, the irony is when that article first popped up, I have been seeing this grassroots campaign to telling people when you go to conventions, shower, wash yourself, shower, do that. And it's like, this is popping up. I'm like, even Microsoft is telling you need to leave the game room for 5 minutes, go up to your room, shower, come back downstairs, and then game some more.
Rama, I wouldn't expect you to know of this YouTube celebrity, but I'm gonna share this YouTube celebrity for you. This particular celebrity is very famous right now because there's a short clip circulating around the internet where she goes, her name is Jasmine Masters, and she's an amazing queen from RuPaul's Drag Race. And she has this whole series, and you just need to find it on YouTube, where she talks about, you need to wash your ass, and you need to scrub your balls. And she goes this whole thing on it, and I think it's something that should be required viewing before going to a convention.
She's not wrong. I'm telling you, she's not wrong. Brother, I walked into the game room and I felt like my mother slapped the living shit out of me because of how strong that funk was. I'm like, I should have brought my console from home and stayed in my damn room. God, I can tell you stories of the fanboy funk.
If I ever get to the day where Vogue Network has a convention, I'm going to have that Jasmine Masters videos on loop in the registration line.
Please do. I mean, there was this one convention in the Midwest, a Colossal Con. They were giving out small things of deodorant. You didn't have, there was like, here, take it,
Nifty, Nifty 805 in chat says, I remember that GamerX attendees smell lovely.
We'll just do this. Instead of bomb sniffing dogs, we'll get like BO sniffing dogs. And so they can sniff out the people that are really rank. And we can like,
ruff,
yeah.
Ruff.
Dog is very disturbed by your smell, sir. You're going to have to exit the line.
Wow. Speaking of all this, did you see Sac Anime this weekend downtown?
I heard that it was going on.
I heard it was going on. They had Sac Anime the same freaking... Okay, so usually I can't go to Sac Anime because it's the same weekend as Dragon Con, right? So they move it to a different date this year, and they put it the same weekend as Pride.
There's multiple Prides going on in New York. Like, last Sunday was Queens Pride. I'm going to New York Pride at the end of the month as the token straight, so you know.
Allies are important. It's good to have them close. Yeah.
True. So,
all right. Well, Rama, I'm going to let you go. But before I do let you go, I just want to remind you, Rama, you're breathtaking.
Oh, I get it from y'all. You know, I learn from y'all. So, you know.
Excellent. Excellent response. I approve. All right. Take care, buddy. It's always good to hear from you.
Later, fam.
Bye. All right. Do we have any? I don't see anybody else in the green room right now. But do we have any other stories to talk about?
Yes. Before we, let's talk about some of the stuff from Devolver Digital. So
since they've been going on and we kind of were doing a show.
So this is an announcement I was not expecting. So you know, Enter the Gungeon. Well, they announced a brand new game in the Enter the Gungeon series called Enter the Gungeon: House of the Gundead.
Nice.
It's an arcade shooter game.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It's an arcade gun game.
So it's a separate, it's not DLC or something.
It's like going to be in arcades.
Oh, shit. That's pretty cool.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
So right. I am totally down for that.
That's really cool.
And then, of course, they announced a Devolver bootleg collection. It's all these bootleg games that, of their games. It's hilarious. So, like, they did, like, Enter the Gun Dungeon or Hotline Milwaukee. Ape Out Junior.
Wait, so they took a bunch of people that hacked their games?
No, I think they made their own like bootleg games of their own games.
Oh, okay. So weird.
Shooty Boots, Super Absolver Mini Turbo Fighting Championship, Catsylvania. It's a cat inside of a suit of armor. It's a cat in full plate armor. What else do you want?
Just that game, TBH. I want that.
Luff Trousers, Piku Biku Ball Stars. Idea what that is, but it sounds hilarious, and it's on Steam right now for $4.94 for 8 games.
I heard it's 1% off right
1%
now.
Off, yes.
1% off. That's pretty good price. Oh, there we go. More late breaking news just coming in. So you know how we're supposed to hear the date of the Final Fantasy VII remake at that concert?
Yeah,
it just came out. March 3rd, 2020 was announced as the date. March 3rd, 2020. So it was this winter, but it's like the last days of winter. So. But there it is, March 3rd, 2020, Final Fantasy VII Remake. It's happening.
Cool.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be there day one. I'm excited for it. I know a lot of y'all love to hate on 7, and that's fine. But I'm really excited to kind of check it out with these souped-up graphics and sort of like for a new generation there. So it's really, really cool.
I was going to say other things that I saw this week that were pretty cool. They announced the remake for Destroy All Humans, which is awesome. And Rammstein in the trailer, of course. It's going to be fantastic. They have a remake of... the SpongeBob, was it Battle for Bikini Bottom or something that they're doing? That's kind of random. I'm surprised, like, I know, like, Activision has, like...
they need to do a SpongeBob meme game. There's so many SpongeBob memes now. Like, now, like, there's the whole, like, the all caps when you say something sarcastically back to somebody, you know, that whole thing. And then now I'm seeing one where they put SpongeBob in, like, all these weird... I don't even know. It's, like, these weird places and scenery and, yeah. And it's, like, me when I show up to the... place alone or something like that. It's just like SpongeBob memes are everywhere, so you should make a game out of it.
Yeah, or Sonic the Hedgehog memes.
Yes, perfect.
So yeah, I guess that's it. That's all I got. All
right,
for now. I mean, I'm sure there's stuff that we're forgetting out there.
Yeah,
they talked about Carrion. That was another announcement that they have for Devolver Digital, but that one's kind of cool. It's a reverse horror game. You play like almost like The Thing. And you're going around and infecting people into this giant amorphous mass of, like, body parts. and it's kind of horrific, but fun because you're attacking people.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Good times. All right. Well, I don't see any other calls waiting on the line, so I guess we'll move to start to wrap things up here a little bit, even though for being E3 week, it was a little bit of a shorter show. But we're only partway through E3. Like, there's still so much more news to come, so it's a bummer we have to wait all the way till next Sunday to talk about it again. But, of course, you know, you can always follow the show on Twitter, at OLR, or, you know, my personal Twitter, at Mr. Rob Roberts. Loki's on Twitter, at Loki OLR. And then Dark Soccer is also on Twitter as well, at Dark Soccer, although she tends to be more of a Facebooky/Tumblr person. Which we do missed Dark Soccer tonight, but she will be back to join us next week. And of course, in 7 days, we'll know what Nintendo's got planned for the next year.
So, Animal Crossing.
Yeah, lots of Animal Crossing. You think we'll get any surprises out of Nintendo and what they do? The funny thing is, for those that listen on the podcast, some people are going to hear this possibly after Nintendo's already done their thing, and how stupid these predictions might be. But anything.
Well, okay, let's make predictions then. Why not?
All right. What do you think Nintendo's going to do?
They're going to have Animal Crossing. They're going to talk about Pokemon again a little bit. They may talk about Mario Maker 2 a little bit. I think as far as announcements go, we're going to see maybe something for Bayonetta 3. And I would be willing to bet Minecraft Steve for Smash.
Okay, Minecraft Steve for Smash. That's an interesting one. Let's see. For me, Animal Crossing is a given. Link's Awakening remake is on the lanyards at E3, apparently. So that's definitely
right.
Gonna
I would expect that would be that. That could be talking a little bit more of that. I thought that'd be more of a Treehouse thing.
Yeah. No, I think especially now that Metroid Prime 4 kind of fell off the calendar for them, I think there are probably going to be other games that they're kind of boosting up to kind of make sure that this holiday is okay for
Super
them.
Super Nintendo games maybe for
here's hope
Nintendo channel
yeah,
type
for
thing?
The Famicom channel the Famicom channel, you know what I mean, the Switch Online, NES.
They should do Nintendo 64. They should just do all these things.
Super Nintendo games would be great. I'd really be excited for that. Secret of Mana remake. The collection, Second Densetsu collection. I'm gonna put stock that's probably real. And
that'd be a Square Enix thing.
Ooh, what? Yeah, we may hear about that tomorrow. It's Square Enix thing. That's true. Yeah. So I'm gonna hope that's real and coming out on the Switch, and that's gonna be the first time we get Second Densetsu 3, and that's gonna be a big fucking deal. You talk about Phantasy Star Online 2 being old and us finally getting it. Let's talk about Second Densetsu 3. Okay, that'll be a pretty big fucking deal. So there's that, and I'm trying to think. I would say I think I'm going to go with something, and Flacco had said this on Twitter, and I think we're due for it. I think a new Splatoon game could happen because we know the final Splatoon 2 is happening. The final Splatfest for Splatoon 2 is happening. Thank you, Alan. Product placement. My God, Alan brought me snackies.
Carmel one? Yeah.
Yeah, that Carmel ones are hella good. Anyway, but they didn't pay me to say that. So I think it's Splatoon 3. Why not? We're ready.
I was going to say, well, as far as Square Enix goes, Final Fantasy 11 Mobile? Eh? When the hell is that going to be announced?
Nice.
You know, and let's just throw something way out there. Chocobo Racing mobile game.
I don't want them to talk about Final Fantasy 14 because we already know everything for Final Fantasy 14, the expansion. Don't retread that ground tomorrow unless they're going to announce Final Fantasy 14 for the Xbox One.
I think we're due for another Hitman game. Could be that.
Yeah, that'd be good too. So, all right. Well, that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. We will be back in 7 days to recap the second half of E3 and all these things that we're thinking about now. And then, of course, you guys hopefully to chat along with us here in chat. And Dark Soccer will be back as well. And we'll have a good old time. So enjoy E3. Anybody that we know that happens to be there, we hope that you're having a good time at the show. And, have a drink for us at one of the fun after parties in the area. And it'll be a good time. So final thoughts time. You have a final thought for us, Loki.
It's funny. In chat, they say, I predict Loki will delete the code to time the car live on stream to stop people from mentioning it before Half-Life 3 comes out. Funny enough, I would actually play that game on stream if I thought that the modern Unity can open it up and actually I can render it as an executable, but I don't know if I can. I'll try it, but I think it'll break it if I try to import it into because I did that in Unity 5, and we're like on 2019 now. So I'd have to dig up a really old copy of Unity in order to open that up.
Fair enough.
Or actually, it might have been even Unity 4. I don't know. It's really old.
As I always say, towards the end of every episode of Orange Lounge Radio, help us spread the word. Tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but only if the voices are here to be able to air out there. I know we've been getting some new people coming in and watching, so we really appreciate that. Hope you'll stick with us here at VOG Network. Really appreciate that. Auto hosts go a long way, so if you're not already auto hosting our channel on Twitch at VOG Network, please consider doing so. It really helps us out a lot.
And so Bobby, we're not just held up because of my entry into VOG Jam 1. We're also held up because of Rob's entry into VOG Jam 1.
Yeah. At least I finally played him at some point, so there is that. You can't give me shit about that anymore. So we've come a long way, I suppose. So, all right. Well, that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Oh, my official final thought is M&M's. Yay. Candy. Just what
I need.
Yeah,
the caramel ones are pretty good.
Sugar Rush right before I go to bed.
Woo-hoo! No, it's not good, though.
What?
The raw cookie dough place that I went to the other day where they serve cookie dough like ice cream. You'd think that would be good. It is too much.
Oh, I went to a place like that in Vegas. It wasn't bad. I liked it.
It was sickening how rich and sugary that is.
All right. Well, on that note, we hope to be back in 7 days with another rich and sugary episode of Orange Lounge Radio. And if anyone hasn't told you yet already, you're breathtaking. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.